It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. Man, do we have a great panel for you. It's the gray-haired panel with Jerry Pournelle, Dwight Silverman, and, of course, John C. Dvorak. We'll talk about all these big announcements, including Apple's announcement, Google's announcement, Windows 8, and a whole lot more. Yeah, it's going to be a big week. Twit is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 376, recorded October 21st, 2012. I got frisked. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code TWIT. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com now, click on the microphone, and enter TWIT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or Android smartphone. Find out what your gadget's worth and get cash to upgrade to the latest iPhone 5 or iPad mini at Gazelle.com. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And to get your copy of Brandon Sanderson's Legion absolutely free, visit audible.com/Sanderson. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the show that covers your weekly tech news. And boy, there's a lot of it, although most of it is about what's going to be happening next week. But first, let me introduce our panel, starting with beauty before age, Mr. Jerry Pournelle is here, science fiction writer extraordinaire. I would say the senior tech reporter in the bunch. He's been doing it for longer than anybody else, starting with his Chaos Manor column in Byte Magazine. Legendary. Great to see you again, Jerry. How's everything going?
Pretty good. They chopped the last of the cancer out of my nose, so I am now a three-time cancer survivor.
Holy cow, that cancer ain't gonna get you, is it?
Ain't gonna get me.
Wow, good for you. So you had brain cancer, I remember. That's gone.
Yep.
You have apparently nose cancer. That's gone. What else?
Two kinds of skin cancer, and wow, they're both gone now.
Hey, that's really actually great to hear. And you seem like you're going. Everything's going well for you.
Pretty good.
Awesome.
Pretty good.
Awesome. John C. Dvorak, a.k.a. Brian Brushwood, is here. You look good in that.
Yeah, I think so.
So for people listening on audio, John's wearing a, what do they call it, a pork pie hat?
No, it's a visor with hair coming out of it. Pie hat?
Hey, would you get me my pork pie hat? I left it over there. Also with us from Houston, Texas, Mr. Dwight Silverman of the Houston Chronicle. And the tech blog there, and of course, technology. What is it? Technology Bites? Look at that. See? Pork pie hat.
You got the hipster look down.
I could be playing the clarinet right now, but fortunately, I'm not. I'm drinking Mangria. I'm drinking Adam Carolla's Mangria. Wow. I'm sorry,
you're
Dwight.
You're drinking what? Adam Carolla's what?
Mangria.
He bottles it?
No, it's actually bottled by
wine. I see what you're talking about.
It's from our friend here at the Patio Wine Company in Napa, California. What's your name, sir?
It's not
Steve Burke.
Birch.
Birch. I have headphones in. I can't hear a thing. but anyway, this is Adam sells this on his podcast. And Steve here bottles it for him. Mangria. And it sells well?
Yes, very well.
Very well.
What does very well mean?
100 cases a week.
And what does it go for a case? $180 a...
Do the math. Jeez. You're kind of taking them for a ride.
Wow.
That's better than a knighthood.
Yeah, that's a double knighthood.
That's a double knighthood. Yeah, wow.
Adam's doing
sangria. You know, go ahead.
With the Spanish, sangria is traditionally the way they get rid of wine that didn't work out very well.
Is that what it is, Steve? This is Adam Carolla getting rid of the ideas that didn't work out. So Adam sells everything. I mean, Adam is really good at monetizing, which you have to be. You are, too. No Agenda Show is really good at...
Not as good as that wine monetization
gimmick. This is inspiring.
We could do this with the No Agenda wine.
Well, I have a friend in the business. He could hook you up.
We'll make it better than this one.
Okay, so big story. I don't know where to begin. Apple sent out invitations this week. Tuesday, Apple's going to have yet another event. We don't know what it is, but we believe, of course, it's the iPad Mini.
The Nexus 7.
No, 7.85.
Okay.
Slightly bigger.
Ah, showing off.
The rumors will be that it's basically an iPad 2, 1024 by 768 in a smaller case. Mm. Dwight, you got any leads on this? Anything you know about it? I mean, this is all rumor at this point, but I think that everybody seems to agree.
It's all rumor. It's all vapor. I think they have to get into the space. What's interesting is the more than the specs. I mean, everybody expects it to be a smaller, less powerful iPad. But I think what's most interesting is the pricing. John Gruber had an interesting discussion this week on Daring Fireball about the idea of whether or not it matters if you take this smaller iPad and price it anywhere near the new iPod Touch that's come out, because what it starts at $299, I think, and there'd been some discussion about the iPad Mini being at $249, and today's rumor from 9 to 5 Mac is $329. I think Apple has to price it at $249 in order to be competitive with some of the with the Android tablets and the Nexus 7. That have come out. I don't think they can price it at $329 and expect to have a lot of sales. But I may be wrong. It's Apple. You know, people will pay that.
$329 too high, John?
Yeah, I think so. But if it has some specifically great feature that takes it out of the fray, I think it would be fine.
What kind of thing would it be?
Well, that's it. I don't think there is one.
They say this is going to be a education iPad, that they're going to really focus on iBook 3. Yeah. But, you know, I presume that the 329 iPad will be 8 gigs, which is enough for one textbook. These books are huge. They're 4 or 5 gigs each. So it's not going to be the one. Not only is that price too high, nobody's going to buy that one. You're going to have to buy the 16. Actually, the rumor is it'll be an 8, 32, 64. There will be no 16.
8, 32, 64.
And I think if you end up with, you know, if you end up having this at a too high of a price, you've got Amazon coming in with its new tablets, which are very nice. I think the obvious trajectory for pricing is $250 and below for these 7-inch tablets, and I just don't see how Apple could do it like that unless. You know, it's like incredibly thin, that it's as thin as, say, the iPod Touch. That would be really interesting if they did it something that was just so remarkably thin that was the big draw, that it was very sexy, easy to handle.
Jerry, you're an iPad. I know, in fact, I see it behind you. You're an iPad user. I know you love the iPad.
Yeah. For what it's worth, it's very good. Of course, I've got the old one with no camera. I was about to buy a new one, and now I guess I'll wait to see what this looks like, but I think I'll get the latest full iPad.
Well, somebody in the chat room a couple of days ago suggested that what that killer feature might be, and maybe John and Jerry, this will resonate with you. What if they put a really good camera in it? What if it had a...
That would do it, I think. Yeah.
It wouldn't do it for me because I think walking around with a big clunker
But it's not a big clunker.
Oh, you're talking about the little one with it.
The little one.
Still. Get a camera. There's real things. And these phones are fine.
Well, now, here's the
thing. They don't get in the way. You're not holding some big clunker. Well,
no, but it's not that big. It's smaller.
I now use the iPhone as a camera.
Sure, so do I.
I carried cameras for years. In addition to my phone, I had a camera. And a good pocket Kodak, you know, 10 to 1 mechanical zooms and things. I now find the iPhone 4 is is as good a camera as I need for almost anything.
My friend Hans-Peter Brunbaum, who works for Nokia, is teaching a class and giving lectures on a new form of photography, which is focused on the software. That, and you know, the Lytro might be an example of this, where it's no longer the physical lens and the physical pickup. It's what you do with it after the fact. And what better than to take a fairly powerful piece of computer, that an iPad mini, and put a decent camera on there?
How would it be more powerful than what's in the phone? I mean, the phones are pretty powerful.
Well, no, you're right. It's, in fact, not any more powerful if the rumors are. It's just an iPad 2. It's an A6.
And this is more convenient. It goes in the pocket. You know, you're not going to carry a phone and a thing.
I'll tell you why I like the iPad. I even shoot pictures with the iPad. It's great for video or pictures because you're seeing a big screen.
You're seeing what the picture looks like. Even though you look like a total
doofus.
But at least, yeah, you're right. I agree with that. It looks pretty cool.
There's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
So what if you had really powerful software on the other end, and now it's a computer camera. It's a digital photography. Is that compelling?
What if you bundled it with, say, the iPhone 5 camera? What if the iPhone 5 camera?
8 megapixels.
Just great. Great camera,
yep.
And then you say you put as a gimme on this iPhoto.
Oh, the $5 iPhoto.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of what might be, John, you know, that killer feature, and I think that that's a good one. I'll give you an example. I went to see Madonna on Thursday.
What? What?
The Material Girl, like a virgin.
Denver, right? Did you go out to dinner with her? Or
No. I went to a concert.
Well, wait
in Denver.
A minute. You went to Denver.
I went to Denver. Now
this is decadent.
They do not allow you to. I know. I got the weirdest email, which I'll share with you later.
Madonna?
No, from somebody who said, "How decadent!" But they don't let you bring a nice camera in there. So I only had an iPhone. In fact, that's all anybody had. But I was able to get decent pictures. Even, I mean, this is not an
ideal. I'm looking at it now. Is that what you call a decent picture?
Well,
or that?
It's not perfect. I would love to have a DSLR.
Look at where your seats are. You're in the third row.
That's what I said. I had dinner with Madonna. But see, everybody's got cameras. And by the way, one of the most annoying things, this guy right in front of me, the whole show, he's like, I got to have a video of this show. He's holding up his phone the whole time.
That's annoying.
I was hitting him in the head. It's very annoying.
So Leo
didn't seem to help.
He obviously didn't hit him hard enough.
Apparently not.
So Leo, David Byrne played here in Houston last week, and one of the things that he did before the show, he came over the PA and he said, you know, you can take pictures, you can take video, you can do whatever you want during the show, which was pretty cool, I thought. But then he said, but please don't use an iPad to take pictures or video because
it's
in
annoying.
A concert setting, you have this big block in front of you, you know, so people can't see behind you. And he specifically said, be thoughtful of the people behind you. Don't use an iPad.
Look at this picture. And there's four camera phones in this picture that I have to look through to watch the show. You know, because I'm number five. Right.
You're right there in the front. You could have hit her with your phone.
That don't say no. They have good security. No, it was really
no. They can't stop a flying phone.
By the way, I got to tell you, the technology in concerts now. I don't know if you've noticed this, Dwight. I don't think these guys go to concerts anymore. But the technology in concerts.
I went to that brick thing, the wall, whatever it was.
The wall. You went to the wall. They the projectors, the CGI, the lights. This is huge advances now. These things are amazing. And you go to an installation like Cirque du Soleil in Vegas, where they're there permanently. Have you seen Love in Vegas? Unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a lot of love on the street, especially on Las Vegas Boulevard.
They all look like Elvis.
Do you think it does them any good not to let somebody bring in an actual camera?
No, it's nuts. I agree. I have to say, I'm impressed that David Byrne said no iPads, because I totally agree with him. That's such a bright, big light. That's the last thing you want to see.
Yeah, but could you bring in a Panasonic real
It would be less annoying.
Camera. Yeah, I would think so.
And I'd get better pictures. And how does that hurt in any way? It's promotional. But I understand artists these days are very nervous. I'll tell you what makes me upset.
They can put a gun in one of those real cameras.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
You're right. They're very security conscious.
Yeah, there you have it.
I got frisked.
You did?
Yeah. Not by Madonna, but I got frisked.
You got frisks.
I literally got frisked.
You went. Was there a metal detector that you walked through and you set it off?
No.
They saw you.
They
said,
frisked
what
everybody
is this?
Going
everybody
into
the... Everybody, you sure they just didn't see you as like an elderly man
going
in?
No, put your arms out. This is what they, not that way. Have you never been frisked? They felt me up and down, all around, every part of my body. They squeezed, they prodded, they poked.
Were you wearing that hat?
That could be it.
It wasn't me. It was everybody going into this. I mean, security is incredible.
So did you fly to Denver just to go to the show?
Yeah.
She never comes out here? You
no,
can't
she
wait?
No, she was in San Jose. I couldn't get tickets.
Oh. Was the show, what is the show any good?
Yeah, it's a great show.
It better be.
You know, it was very controversial because it's in Denver, right? And, of course, the Aurora shooting's nearby. And there's a whole segment of the show where she is shooting people right and left. In fact, she first appears on the show with a machine gun.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of gun stuff in the show.
She's a gun nut.
And it was very controversial. I don't know how you take that out of the show because it's, you know, the show is a very...
Broomsticks.
Yeah, broomsticks. Anyway, let's ask the questions John Gruber asked of the new iPad. First of all, Ken, how can the new iPad not have a Retina display?
How can it?
How can it not have? The rumor is, of course, that it does have a 1024 by 768. In fact, you know, Google is having an announcement on the 29th in which the rumor is they will announce a very high-res 300-plus DPI 10-inch tablet.
Yeah, Samsung tablet.
Yeah. Running the new Key Lime Pie version of Android 4.2. So I thought it was kind of interesting. So Apple's got their announcement on Tuesday. Microsoft has the Windows 8 launch party on Thursday, and the pop-up stores open Friday. I've got my Windows RT tablet. It'll arrive Friday. They sold those out, by the way.
They sold them out, but I think a lot of people think because they're getting a Windows tablet that they'll be able to run their Windows applications on it. I don't think the message about Windows RT being not able to run legacy Windows apps, except for the ones that are pre-installed on it, is getting through to people. I think you're going to have a lot of people who are really upset when they get it and can't put their favorite Windows apps there.
Microsoft's done something very interesting. In fact, if you look at the ads, they've got Windows 8 phones, Windows RT tablets, and Windows 8 desktops, all with the same Metro start page. And the implication is it's the same operating system across the board. And I think you're right. I think people are going to get very upset when they get a Windows Phone 8 and it doesn't run anything but Windows Phone software, RT tablet, which only runs RT software. Mm-hmm.
People were leaving comments in my blog about how excited they were to get hold of the Surface. They had already ordered it, and they were looking forward to being able to use a Windows tablet. And it was very clear that they didn't understand what they were getting.
It'll be 3 months before the Surface that runs Windows 8 Pro comes out, and that will be a Windows. Yeah.
And that's the only one that interests me, actually. You know, remember the old Windows tablets, the one that... I loved mine.
Yeah, because they designed the handwriting recognition with your handwriting.
Oh, of course, yes.
Of course you loved it.
It was the most useful thing I ever had. I still got it right over there. But the problem is that she's pretty old now.
You were the only person it worked for, Jerry.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
I have a convertible HP tablet. Problem was that operating system wasn't designed around touch.
No.
It was an after.
But it was one of the best research tools I ever had. You could make notes. You could copy things in. You could put videos in. That and OneNote made a terrific research system.
No, I kind of agree. In fact, I bought this tablet because I was sitting next to a salesman on a plane, and he showed me how he used the touch interface with PowerPoint to do presentations, and he could annotate, and it kind of wowed me.
Yeah.
But then I got it home, and it's kind of I think it really is better to not have touch added to an existing operating system, but designed from the ground up. I think that's really why Windows 8 is going to be important. Whether it succeeds is another matter, but at least it's touch from the ground up, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's actually phone I/O moved up one notch and then moved up another notch. Right. It's ridiculous. I mean, Microsoft is like schizoid. If they started off in the olden days, they would take a desktop and then they'd shrink it and shrink it until they had the Windows for phone. The original one was actually Windows on the phone with a stylus, and there was like a little version of Windows. And now they said, well, that didn't work, so let's go the other way and design a phone operating system and try to put it on a desktop. I mean, I don't understand why this. There has to be the same interface for every type of device. It's not. It doesn't take a genius to use an iPad and a Windows 7 at the one for 1 minute and go to the other in the next minute. You don't have to have everything so it's exactly the same because you're an idiot.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. You see the iPad behind me there.
You're using it with a keyboard, it looks like, Jerry.
Yeah, I've got the little keyboard that goes with it. I would find the little iPad to be a pretty good machine to just carry around with me if it were just a little more powerful.
One of the things that's happening here is Microsoft is trying to do with this what it wanted to do with Windows CE long ago,
right?
And the Windows Mobile, where it looked like Windows. And so they're saying, oh, instead of starting with the desktop Windows and making a miniature version of it for these devices, let's start with what worked on touch and move it over to the desktop. And in addition, there's a little bit of Apple copying going on, although not in the interface, but in the concept that if you keep it simple and make hard choices about what you don't have, you'll come up with a better operating system. The problem is with Windows 8 is that they have grafted these two ideas together. And I think for people who buy like a tablet, like if you buy one of these little Samsung tablets or you buy a Windows RT tablet or the Surface tablet, I think you'll have a pretty good experience. It's the people who go who buy a traditional desktop or who buy a traditional notebook computer with this on it that are going to be really frustrated because jumping back and forth remains fairly jarring.
It's also, there was a study done by the Nielsen Norman Group. They do usability testing, and they noted that normal users who are not, like us, kind of inquisitive when faced with Windows 8 just were kind of baffled because they weren't willing to kind of click around. They'd try, because you get the charms by moving the mouse in the lower right-hand corner, then you get charms. Then you have to do this to shut the machine down. You have to get the charms bar to shut up, to start, click the gear. Then, I mean, it's four steps to turn the machine off.
I think.
And people, yes, if you knew that it's Windows key C, it could do it much faster and so forth. But people don't know that. They don't read the instructions. And so the lack of discoverability, Nielsen Norman found, they thought that was going to be a problem with non-sophisticated users.
Did you find some instructions?
Well, this was also a debate. I know when Microsoft was debating this, they were trying to figure out, should we put a movie in the computer turn it on to show you how to use it?
Yeah, have Chris Perillo's father do the movie.
Yeah, he's an example of somebody who's just baffled, couldn't figure it out.
They do have video in the help file.
Yeah, they're going to do it. They decided to do it.
Yeah. And so today I was playing around with it, and I was playing with it on an older machine I have that has a 19-inch monitor. And I was trying to make it snap with two, you could put two Metro. Well, it turns out, and I didn't know this till I saw the movie in the help files, that you can't snap two Metro apps on the same screen if it's lower than a certain resolution. It has to be 1300. So I couldn't do it on my 19-inch monitor.
And you thought there was something wrong with you.
I thought, why can't I make this work? Right. And I've done it on the tablet, but I couldn't make it work on this. But there's no indication. You're not told in any way unless you go looking in the help files. And who looks in the help files?
And there's a lot of them.
Would you look in a Microsoft help file? Has anybody on earth ever got any help from a Microsoft help file?
Actually, in Windows 7, they're not bad.
I will agree. They're not bad in 7, but I've been playing around. I've got two machines, very fast, one with 7 and one with 8, and 8's driving me nuts. If you like desktops, you will not like Windows 8 very much.
So Steve Jobs used to say, stay hungry, stay foolish. Somebody in the chat room said Microsoft's motto is stay clueless, stay clunky.
Yeah, that's good.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. No. They could use that. They could pay money for that.
Well, some parts of 8 work very well, but other parts are just baffling and needlessly so.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't I have a view that lets me have the little close file, go from full screen to Windows, the usual ones. Windows 7's fine. Windows 7's as good as Mac.
If we thought that you remember that little era between XP and Vista, and people refusing to upgrade, and then demanding they keep it on the market, and making Dell sell them Windows XP because nobody wanted Vista. This is going to be going on again. This is just a repeat. People are going to demand to keep with 7.
I think you're right.
I'm going to take a break. I was going to go through John's questions, Gruber's questions, but I think we're doing a much better job anyway. So if you want to read it on daringfireball.net, John Gruber's really become an Apple apologist. And so he poses all of the negative questions like, how could Apple possibly charge $329? And he answers it, you know, well, let me explain why. He almost says why we're doing this. the name is a big question. There's no way they're calling an iPad mini.
No.
Sounds like a female hygiene product.
I wouldn't think so.
So what do they call it? He guesses iPad Air.
No.
iPad.
No. Small iPad.
Just iPad. Mm. And you get it in different sizes.
Mini pad. There you go.
That's definitely not mini. All right, we're going to take a break. We got a great panel. I don't care what the news is. Let's just talk to Jerry, John, and Dwight and just have some fun here. Drink more Mangria. Thank you, Adam Carolla. Thank you, Steve.
I'm sure Adam Carolla would rather you buy it.
I'm going to get some bourbon. You guys are drinking Mangria.
Go ahead.
Get the pencil out.
Get some bourbon. $180 a case, 100 cases a week.
Yeah.
We got
and that's for the junk wine that he's buying.
Shh. Don't call it junk.
I shouldn't say that.
The guy who makes it sitting
right over here.
Well, maybe. traditionally, sangria in Spain
is junk wine.
Is the wine they couldn't sell any other way, so they mix it with fruit juice, pour it in rum, and there you are.
They still do that.
It's a party drink. It's a big party drink. It's a punch.
It's a punch. It's a mangria.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no claims made as to this,
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
The fact that it's in a bottle and not a plastic thing with a screw top is beyond me.
That's $18,000 a week.
Hello?
It'll get you pickled as well as anything else.
Still doing the math?
$18,000 a week.
Well, there's some.
For Mangria alone.
There's overhead. I mean, what is the take home on that? I mean, this is that. What's the net?
On a $15 bottle of sangria, it's about $14.95.
he would know.
Half of that's federal taxes.
I'll get his card.
Oh, excise tax.
Yeah,
they get you every time. So let's talk about GoToMeeting. Oh, I think we have a winner. We were giving away an iPad. Is there a winner on this list? Yes, there is. Ooh. So GoToMeeting.com. Let me tell you a little about GoToMeeting.com, then I'll tell you who wins the iPad. So this is an online meeting service. We've talked about it before. It's the number one, I think, online meeting service where you share the screen. It's very efficient. The folks who do this, Citrix, invented remote desktop. They know how to do efficient screen sharing, but now they've added something that makes it super compelling. They've added video. So now you can actually see the people you're meeting with. GoToMeeting's always been the go-to choice when you can't get together for a face-to-face meeting. Now, I don't even know why you'd bother, because you're seeing your clients or colleagues, you're working together, you're collaborating, and you can start a meeting on a Mac or a PC, but you can attend meetings on an iPad, an iPhone, an Android tablet. In fact, if you have an iPad, is this sweet? It will use the camera on the iPad. In fact, this would be so good with a new iPad. Uses the camera on the iPad, uses the headphones and the microphone. You could be out in the garden. You could be at a hotel. You could be at an airport. You could be anywhere and attending a meeting. Just that easy. You could share content from ShareFile or Dropbox on the iPad. I mean, this Illustrate, Highlight, Whiteboard, this is just a fantastic product. I want you to try GoToMeeting right now. A 30-day free trial awaits you, including the HD faces, the screen sharing, NAT traversal, so you don't have to punch a hole in the firewall. It's literally the most secure way to do this. All you got to do is visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use our offer code TWIT. Now, you may remember, for the last couple of weeks, we've been asking people to tweet where in the world you would want to use GoToMeeting from, who you'd want to meet with, and why, using your GoToMeeting on the iPad. And we took everybody, and we asked you to use the hashtag, remember, TwitFreeiPad. We took everybody who used that hashtag, and we made a random drawing from all, and we got hundreds of tweets. The winner is Cocolicius. Brent He says, I would use GoToMeeting on an iPad to consult with my research imaging customers while at the lounge in a ski resort. That sounds good. Cocolicious is his name, his Twitter handle. Brent, congratulations. We're going to contact you. We're going to ask you if you want the iPad autographed. If so, we will autograph it for you. I could even get Dvorak to autograph it for you. I know him. Holy cow. GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button. Use the promo code TWIT. And congratulations to Brent Cocolicious, our winner of that free iPad. Sorry if you didn't win, folks. And I know most of you didn't because only one of you got to. OMG, it's Crown Royal. A giant bottle.
There you go.
There's so... What are you imbibing, Dwight? What bourbon?
I haven't gotten a chance to go get it, but there's a bottle of Maker's Mark down there in the pantry. So
I have some Blanton's and I have some Bullet, and that's a Throwboy pillow you got there. OMG, that's his. He does a Twit pillow for us, by the way. Throwboy.com. Look at that. Quick screen grab. Screen grab. All right. And what are you having anything, Jerry, there to smooth the way?
Smooth the way. I'm having a Pepsi Cola.
That's good. Thank goodness somebody here.
High fructose corn syrup.
What's wrong with HFCs?
Even corn syrup. This is a diet Pepsi Cola.
Oh, there you go. Worse. Even better.
I'm afraid you get to be my age. The Crown Royal is. Not so much in the picture anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm old enough not to drink it. And I'm certainly not going to mix it with whatever the hell that is. LOL. So, is this a story? The Russian Orthodox Christians say that Apple's logo is blasphemous. I never even thought of the bite out of the apple. Here's John's reaction for video only. WTF. Huh?
It could be Harpo Marx on this show.
According to a Russian news report, some conservative believers see the image of the bitten apple as a symbol of Adam and Eve's original sin in the Bible. Some have gone so far as to cover up the logo and replace it with an image of the cross.
Isn't this a little late in the game?
I think this can't be.
This logo has been around since 1975.
This is a pretty bogus story, I think.
Yeah, yet somebody has decided on a publicity grab.
Yeah.
So, apples in the news. Let's mention them.
Let's mention their sacrilege.
It'll get us some SEO.
Apple. Okay, so I think we've covered the Apple announcement. We didn't mention the fact that the rumors are, besides the iPad, the little iPad, there'll be a new versions of the bigger iPad with the lightning cable. That was inevitable, unfortunately. I like the lightning cable. Once everything's moved over to it, it'll be fine. It's just I got to buy new cables for everything.
The number of announcements is interesting. You got Apple. You got
got
Google. You got two Microsoft announcements.
Samsung. You got two Microsoft. It's crazy. I mean, I thought we were done with this. So that last month was September was supposed to be announcement month. October
was
even
crazy
worse.
Month.
So they will also
actually
announce,
got invited to one of these things.
Not one. But anyway, they'll announce the new.
I didn't either.
The dean of technology journalism in America, Jerry Pornell.
I didn't get invited.
Not one invite.
But then.
Well, you're not a blogger.
I'm the guy who said that the original Macintosh was a wonderful operating system attached to a toy computer, and Apple didn't
that
like
was that. That was that was the end of it.
Ever since. John Sculley passed it along to Michael Spindler, who passed it along to Gil Emilio, who passed it along to Steve Jobs. They all said, remember that guy, Jerry Purnell. Don't let him in.
That's actually the way it works.
And Tim Cook got it.
That's what happened to you.
When you ascend.
You got blackballed and you haven't been back.
When you ascend to the CEO ship at Apple Computer, you get get three envelopes.
Box of names.
Box of names. Do not let this guy in. So they'll also announce new Mac Minis, new iMacs, and those will both use, I guess, the Ivy Bridge updated Intel processors, probably USB 3. They'll probably get rid of the FireWire port. Thunderbolt and USB 3 will be across the board. And I think the most significant of the announcements will be a Retina MacBook Pro 13-inch to go with the 15-inch Retina, which, by the way, is a great computer I recommend.
It is.
Really like it. There will not be a Mac Pro. Nobody's saying the word Mac Pro. And that's weird because we need one. There hasn't been a new one in ages. Apple really is abandoning the Mac market, I think.
What?
Didn't Cook
say it,
earlier?
Ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Didn't Cook say earlier in the year that there would be, yes, he implied there'd be Mac Pros next year?
Next year. He's just, yeah, I think he's kicking he, it I think down he the road.
Somebody's, kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he answered somebody's email, some Mac user's email, and the implication was that it'd be next year for that.
Yeah,
by the way, I got an invitation to both of the Microsoft events, and I can't go to either one of them.
Actually, I also got an invitation to the Windows 8 event.
Yeah, I get invitations to the Microsoft events.
Basically, they're begging anybody to go that will come.
I'm going
to
go to the one on Monday.
Or it's going to be in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You should go.
Yeah.
So, to recap, Tuesday is Apple. We'll cover that live, by the way. Thursday is Microsoft's Windows 8. It's more of a party than an announcement.
Are you going to cover it live with the puppets?
We might have puppets. Would you like? Did you like the puppets?
I thought that was your best television ever.
Tim Cook puppet.
A couple puppets and then the talking
over
the puppets.
Because we couldn't do it live, we'd do a reenactment.
Yeah, it was something.
And then Thursday, we will also be at the Windows 8 event. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley will be covering that. We'll do a special Windows Weekly. The pop-up stores, 32 new Microsoft stores, will open on Friday. They've been handing out vouchers. If you go to the mall where there's a pop-up store, you could get a voucher for a Surface. So some people will be able to go to the store and get them. But apparently, 3-week delay now if you go to the Microsoft store online.
Oh, they're packing them in.
You know, it could be that they only made 100. We don't know. It's not meaningful.
I think they did announce that they made like 350,000.
Did they say?
There were some rumors. There were some rumors about 3 to 5 million of them. But,
yeah,
you know, the thing is, that's one device that you should wait and see what all of the
where are the apps,
the adopters. Oh, yeah, where are the apps? And no one has actually had a chance at the event when they launched the Surface.
Couldn't
they wouldn't
touch
let
it.
The press type on right. the little.
But they still haven't let anyone touch it.
Yeah. Nope.
They
no one has touched this device yet.
Right.
Now except I ordered one, I ordered one right at the beginning. So I will get it Friday. So I'll
you'll have an RT.
Have an RT.
The $499 one.
I wasn't. I got the cheapest one I could find.
Did you get a keyboard?
Well, so here's the deal. Now they've changed how. Well, let's see. Let's go shopping. Shall we go shopping?
I think so.
So I got confused, and now they've rearranged this from the way it was, and I think it was because people were confused. It used to say 32 gigs without black touch cover, and then the other one said black touch cover with black touch cover. I thought it said with black touch cover.
Oh, so you paid $499 expecting
a cover, and I didn't get one. So I then ordered and thought, well, if I'm going to buy a cover, I might as well get for $10 more.
A blue one.
No, you can only get it in black, the Surface type cover. So there's two covers. This is even more confusing. There's a touch cover and a type cover. What do you think the difference is?
One is got colors.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the type cover has a little bit more play in the keys.
Ah.
It has actual keys.
Well, I don't think they move. I think
they're
kind of
rubber keys.
They're chiclets.
It's like a rubber, that rubber keyboard that you can buy. You know,
yeah, it's
a rubbery old keyboard. Yeah, but it's rubbery.
Like the IBM PC Junior.
It's a PC Junior keyboard.
The PC Junior.
Good God.
And remember how well
that
did.
Keyboard. Yeah, that was wonderful.
No, I think it's more like the rubber keyboard. So the PC Junior was it was hard. This is like chiclets.
Well, we'll find out. Nobody has seen this. Nobody's
let alone
it.
Typed on it.
So the Surface Touch cover does have keys painted on the surface, and you type on them, but they don't move. They're not raised. They're
I didn't know that.
You can type on that
cover. So you pay the extra $10 to have
for
something
the
boing,
raised
boing,
keys.
Boing, boing, boing. So
I don't think it goes boing, boing, boing. I think it's just raised.
Boing, 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 boing?
I think it's a chiclet keyboard.
Oh.
I don't know. Does anybody know?
Nobody knows. They won't tell us.
Anyway, so that's what I'll be getting, but that only comes in black.
Or are you going to get the black one? I thought you were going to pay $10 more.
$10 more, you don't get color.
What?
You understand my confusion. When I got the email from Microsoft, I said, that's what? I didn't get a keyboard. So I went back, but fortunately, it's all going to arrive on Friday. So come back next Sunday, and I'll show you. You can play with it.
What happens if the dog grabs it?
Yeah, he'll chew it right up. The issue is going to be, no 3G, right? No 4G, no 3G, no wireless.
No 2G?
It's just Wi-Fi. No 2G.
Just Wi-Fi.
Oh. Well.
And B, there's not what apps? It's going to come with Office. And I think that the Office app is a desktop app as well as a Metro app.
Sure, it's just not online?
Right, Dwight? This is the only
it's
way.
It's basically a Chromebox.
Yep. It's like, no, yeah. It's a real operating system.
Okay.
And most of the apps from the Metro side, you can grab them and download them and use them on the Surface. There apparently are a couple of them that don't work, but almost everything that's on the App Store will work on the Metro side. So they're really selling this as a Metro device.
So maybe that's their explanation to people who take it home and say, well, wait a minute, I can't run my
They're going to run into Windows that problem, by the way. People are going to take it home thinking it says Windows.
Yeah, it's not Windows. It's Windows RT.
Well, Windows.
What does RT mean?
Real time.
What?
Real time.
Like Windows.
It's not real time.
Like Windows is not real time?
Runtime, somebody puts.
No, that's the WinRT kernel. That's what RT means in the Win. So Microsoft has.
Rotten Tomato.
A RT product
retweet.
Called WinRT.
It's Windows Retweet.
Retweet.
Windows Retweet.
Real trash.
Real technology. What did NT stand for? New technology.
Yeah.
What does RT stand for?
Really old technology.
Retread technology.
Retread technology. That's good.
Retread technology. There we go. Is that the official Twit name now?
I don't know.
Rough times.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm reserving judgment. I want to like this thing. I want it to be elegant, beautiful. I want it to be usable. I have had the experience of using Windows 8 on a touchscreen, and it really makes much more sense.
Well, it stands for RT Rubber Touch.
Rubber Touch. That might be it.
The guys in the chat room are on a roll here.
Redmond Trash.
Redmond Trash. Real Tablet.
Recycle Tech.
Real Tired.
Real Tablet, maybe.
Real Tired, yeah.
All right. Okay. I don't want to.
We're on our way.
All right. So the store is open on Friday. The pop-up stores. Now that's this coming week.
Yay!
Next week, there's the phone announcement, which you're going to, and then Google said, like, just at the last minute, a couple of days ago, hey, well, we're going to have something before then.
Well, the Google one's going to be on the same day in New York.
Same day in the morning. But in New York,
so they can get the earlier the deadlines. So they can ace them now.
Why would Google even care? Why does Google want to undermine the Windows Phone? They don't care.
They don't trust Microsoft. They think it's possible that I'm going to go to this for one reason only. I want to see if Microsoft pulls a Google and actually gives the phone away to everyone who shows up.
They should.
But I'm guessing, and actually I would take money on this. I'm not going to do it because I'm not a betting man. But they won't do it. There won't be a.
They did it with CE. You remember they had that big Treasure Island in at Comdex, and everybody who went into the display got a free little CE.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
So the next web, and I don't know if they have good sources or not, but the next web claims some very interesting things about this Google event. They say, and I think this is intriguing. Of course, we expect Google to announce a phone. This will be the next Nexus phone. It'll be LG. We've known about this for a while.
Right.
Very nice Nexus phone, quad-core, 1.5 gigahertz. The rumor is it'll run 4.2, the next Android, which we think is going to be called Key Lime Pie. They're going to call it Jelly Bean, but just the next Jelly Bean.
Jelly Bean 2.
Jelly Bean 2, I don't know. It'll have... a 4.7-inch 1280 by 768 display. That's a nice high-res display. 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gig storage, 8-megapixel rear, 1.3-megapixel front camera, and a 2100 milliamp battery, which is not a very high-power battery. The more interesting device will be the Samsung 10-inch tablet, which we mentioned earlier, rumored to have 2560 by 1600 pixels on 10 inches.
That'd be nice.
300 pixels per inch. The iPad is 264. This is Super Retina.
People are going to want to see those 10 inches.
Well, now, do those use a stylus or a...
No.
Can't have that, Jerry.
See, what I want is a fast edition of the old Microsoft tablet, the HP Compact tablet. That would be the most useful computer I can imagine.
I don't know.
There are Windows 8 tablets that are coming out that will have styluses, so they're doing what they can to appeal to those folks. Whether it has the same handwriting recognition capability probably depends on what kind of software they put on it.
Well, but handwriting recognition software in it at all, it will still be based on the old Paragraph Core, and that'll recognize my handwriting. You guys,
it's all Jerry cares about.
It's all about Jerry's handwriting.
It's all about Jerry's handwriting.
Now, this is the Galaxy Note 2. This is the 5.5-inch.
Woo! Look at the size of that thing.
That's what I love it when people say that when I whip it out. So this is
That's what she said.
This is the style. This does have a stylus, and it has a whack.
That'll be lost. Look at me see the stylus.
It's nice. No, it won't be lost. You know why?
It's gonna be lost.
No, it has a thing in the phone. When I walk away from the stylus, the phone beeps. I have to go farther away, but the phone yells at me. So now John's going to steal my stylus to test it. See you later, John. Keep going. Not yet. Keep going.
How far away do you have to be? You'll be on
the street. You got him, didn't you?
Keep going, John. Go down the street.
You're having one.
Go down the street.
They've locked me in. This doesn't work.
No, it does. You have to be a ways away.
Well, that you'll be getting on the plane. You have left this thing at the counter.
I'm a little disappointed. I didn't try it. Maybe it did say it would do that.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. There's a button you can push.
There's a button. Now watch. Now you can... Okay, go ahead. I'll let you play with it. Just don't turn it into Russian again.
Greek is the latest one I like to use.
Yeah. So It windows. You want to see? You can have two windows on the screen. If I press and hold the menu, then I can have you... You know, you can watch videos.
No, this is a nice unit.
I love it.
Yeah.
But that does have a stylus, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Samsung the Samsung Note tablet.
You feel like an idiot with the size of this thing. Like, hey, hi, I'm on the phone.
No, you look fine. What are you talking about?
I'm on this giant phone.
Well, if you act like that, you look like an idiot.
You look like those early cell phones, the ones that were about the size of a military walkie-talkie.
Yeah, he looks like Michael Douglas in Wall Street.
Hello, Mom.
Now, let me try it with the hipster hat. Let's see. How does this look?
Oh, yeah, that looks great.
Oh, this looks good. Yeah,
yeah, hipsters would wear it. That would work with a hipster thing.
Yeah, it works.
That's actually a hipster phone.
It's a hipster phone.
Yeah, I get it.
Doesn't that work? It looks good. It looks like I'm playing a jazz instrument.
You look like a typical hipster with the phone. Yeah, I agree. Hey, hipster, you lost your pen.
Give me my pen.
Well, but you understand that if you get the right app on it, you can use it like a saxophone.
Exactly. That looks normal. I actually love this phone. It's gigantic. I have to say, I am a little more soured on the iPhone 5, having used it now for a few weeks.
Aha!
Not having Zagat on there is a big thing, you know, not having Google Maps.
Yeah, you're all going out all the time, flying to Denver for dinner.
Exactly. I couldn't find a good restaurant in Denver on the iPhone, but I could on the...
You know, let me tell you something. There's no good restaurants in Denver.
So you don't like the Google Maps on the web?
No, that's not a good... Do you think that's a good solution?
No, it's not a good solution, but it's all we have, Leo. if I have found that using the maps just like day to day, just like to find places around town, for the most part, they get me where I want to go. At one point, it took me to a location of a car dealership in Houston that had closed 20 years ago. But otherwise, I've had pretty good luck with it. But Google Maps has done the same thing to me, too. So they all screw up.
No, maps is perfect. I think the maps thing was overblown. But I have to say that it turns out when you're traveling, that is an app you use a lot. And I did like having Google Maps on an Android device as opposed to not having it and having just Apple Maps or Waze. I use Waze. I like Waze.
Do you have LTE in Petaluma? Using
yes,
LTE?
And it's very fast. And I do miss that.
LTE is amazing.
Yeah. Verizon. We have Verizon LTE. We're getting Sprint LTE. Sprint's trying to rush out LTE. You know, during the show last week, Sprint announced that they were sold to SoftBank for $20
right.
Yeah, there you have it.
Billion dollars.
Yeah. Now, Sprint has launched LTE here in Houston, and it's not very good.
It's not? Well, that's disappointing.
No, it's very spotty. You're lucky if you can find it, and when you do, it's not as fast as Verizon or AT&T in my experience so far.
What is Nest?
It's been here at the start.
Oh, sorry.
Nest is my thermostat. You want to turn on the heat in my house?
Let me take a look.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jerry. Sorry.
Wouldn't you think that sale of Sprint is kind of significant? What you have here is a major Japanese corporation exporting capital from Japan to America.
A lot
of
capital.
They seem to think that they're going to make a lot more money on their capital by buying stuff in America than they are in investing in Japan. And that, I think, is a very significant thing to think about.
Why is it? Well, now, the Japanese economy has not been in good shape. Am I right?
For the last 15, 20 years.
It's flat for 20 years.
Yeah, since the 80s.
Japan that could say no, and they did.
Now, interestingly, China's been investing in the U.S. as well, right?
Yep.
So while we here in the U.S. feel like we're going through terrible economic tribulations and look to the east as the the rising tiger, in fact, they're looking to us.
Yep.
Why?
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
I mean, betting against the United States is one of the best ways to go broke I know of.
Yeah. Well, it's because
everybody
who's
tried it has.
We still innovate here, don't we?
Remember back when Japan was buying up Yankee Stadium and the Brooklyn Bridge and half of Hawaii would belong to Japanese tourists. And so what happened? All these Yankee real estate salesmen took them for a ride, and they took the haircut, didn't they?
Didn't they own Rockefeller Center for a while?
They owned Rockefeller Center for a while. Well, my publisher was there.
The funny thing about the Rockefeller Center thing is that they didn't ever sell it. They walked.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they just walked. They went, we're done. You have it. It's yours. Bank, take it.
It was like a foreclosure.
It was just they walked. They walked from the deal. They just left it.
Well, the Yankee traders may not be quite as dumb as the Japan that can say no thought we were.
Now, I mentioned Waze, the mapping app. That's an Israeli product. But I think that still the majority is certainly in the app.
Mossad,
economy.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Oh, God, I didn't even think of that.
Well, now you know.
That it's in all likelihood, especially in the app economy, that much of the innovation that's happening is happening here in the U.S.
Yeah, nothing like the app economy to keep things propped up.
Hey, it's all we got.
99 cents.
It's all we got. 99 cent apps. We got them here.
Look, we have known since early science fiction days that the productivity of labor was going to keep going up and up and up, which meant fewer and fewer people needed to produce the same number of goods.
Right.
Now, we've known that since the 40s. Hell, I wrote science fiction stories about it in the 70s.
I remember Jeremy Rifkin's book, The End of Work, in the 70s.
Why are we surprised now that the productivity factor is enormous over here?
But the industrial base is declining. The Rust Belt's declining because it's a service economy.
If you stop to look at it, the United States produces about as much as it ever did.
Does it really?
Mostly bombs and planes.
No, but
fewer people doing it,
and it's higher quality work. It's higher tech work.
I mean, think about it. The agricultural economy has collapsed, right? It employs no one, right? But you don't really think that agriculture has collapsed. We grow more crops than we ever did.
I'm looking for the settings.
Productivity is productivity. Oh. And the higher the productivity, the fewer the people it takes to make the stuff. My God, the average person in this country consumed more than the whole family did in the 40s.
So that would explain higher unemployment.
Yeah.
So what is it? Mr. Science Fiction Writer, give me your prognosis for the future. What does the landscape look like 10, 15, 20 years ahead?
Learn to be of service to people who are productive.
And what does that mean?
It means that you're probably going to go back to having maids and valets one of
these. All right.
You know what I want?
I want
somebody,
a butler,
to iron my newspaper before I get it in the morning so I don't get
wash your change
on my hands. And clean change.
Yep.
Thank you.
And you can also wash bills. They're mostly cotton.
Well,
and
you can have that choice, or you can just pay them to stay out of your way with Cal Fresh, they call it nowadays.
What is that?
Consuela.
Cal Fresh is the name for food stamps. It's a debit card that you get. They call it Cal Fresh so you don't have to feel so ashamed of yourself when you go in and get stuff off of food stamps. And, of course, a lot of people have no choice. I mean, they have to live on it. But what, we're up to 40% of the people in California are on food stamps now?
Is that low?
No. Really? It's that high?
It could be. It wouldn't surprise
me. It's way up there.
The state is broke.
So that's why we're buying people's food.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Have, you heard the CalFresh ads on the we're making vegetables in the pot they go and so forth. They're advertising in for the more pot. People.
Well, that's mostly L.A. advertising.
The CalFresh program, formerly known as food stamps, and federally known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. See, those feds, they don't know how to name stuff.
Yeah, well.
SNAP. That we call it CalFresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, back to tech news.
Making America stronger. It says so right here.
But it is tech news. You're going to have to figure out some way to keep people going when they're not needed.
So if you're a young person heading, should you go to college, Jerry?
Should shoot yourself, apparently.
Apparently.
No. Well, number one, depends on what you want to do. If I were a young person, well, my problem is I grew up smart. I understood that I really didn't want to be a plumber.
Right.
So for that, you need education. But you certainly don't need a college education to be an electrician or a plumber or something of that sort. And those people always have jobs.
So it would be a good idea to get a skill if in a trade. You don't need to go to college to get a skill in a trade. Trades are great.
You don't need college for skills in trade. Heck, you don't even need college to be a medium-grade physicist. You know about the con lectures.
That's really true nowadays. Although, good news, in Minnesota, you can, in fact, take free classes from Coursera. They reversed their
stance. Oh, they did, because we were discussing that on the No Agenda show earlier.
In Minnesota, they decided that because Coursera was not somehow accredited properly, that it was illegal to take a Coursera course. But you know what? People said, what are you, crazy? And they changed it right away.
Yeah, well, they could say, what are you, crazy? But the fact is the unions are going to keep trying to hold on to the certification process because nowadays what's expensive and not an education, you can get that online for free.
Right.
It's getting a certificate that says you have the education that costs you the money, and that puts you about $30,000 in debt. Now, the notion that you have a middle class, every one of whom starts off with an enormous lifetime debt, is not something that that used to be known as being a bondsman and was not considered a very good idea back in the days of Republican theory. And I mean Republic in the sense of the old Republic.
Lowercase r, yeah.
Yeah, not a party. No, it's certification that costs money, and there will come up a way of giving certification without costing $30,000.
Then you got some.
Yeah. And that's one of the big things I see, and that's one of the reasons why these tablets and iPads and that sort of thing are so interesting.
That's why Apple's pushing education in this iPad Mini.
Yeah, except that the specs on it, as you point out, if it won't hold more than one textbook, that ain't the education tablet, right. Is it?
Well, but so obviously you won't be able to get the low-cost one. You'll have to buy one with 16.
Well, or you're going to have get one that takes an SD card or something.
What language are you making?
I can't.
My phone?
This thing has got too many variables. I have made a couple of adjustments.
Oh,
but,
dear.
But nothing too drastic.
You know, this thing does things like it has a camera on the front, and it looks at your eyes orientation, so it rotates the screen to match your eyes.
So
if you're looking at it, it doesn't turn off the screen until you put it down. I mean, there's some very interesting things. This is where innovation's happening.
In Korea. Yeah.
In
yes,
Korea.
Exactly. All right. There you go.
Can Microsoft listen to your Skype calls? Forbes thinks it can. We'll talk about that when we continue in just a bit.
Why
our show
would they
today,
want to is the question.
Brought to you by the United States Post Office.
What?
No, I thought I'd just get your, just see what would happen. In a way it is, because the post office loves stamps.com.
I like stamps.com.
Who doesn't love the idea?
I got the special printer. I got a dynamo printer. I
got the
label
whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need a special printer. What are you, nuts? You don't need
like the special printer.
You don't need a postage meter. You know, especially if you use your printer, your computer. You print the mailing label. You print the stamps. You can even print on the envelope. In fact, if you're an Amazon seller, eBay, Etsy, PayPal, if you use QuickBooks, it'll take it from your address book. It'll take the address. It'll take it from the website. It'll put the stamp on there, put your logo on there, the whole thing. This is kind of the 21st century post office. You never have to go to the post office again. Not just to buy stamps, but literally any package you mail of any size. The mail carrier will come and pick it up. You can schedule free pickups or just use his regular rounds. You get discounts you don't get at the post office, up to 21% on express mail, 15% on priority mail. If you do international mailing, you know what a pain that is to go to the post office. You get the special international postage, fill out the forms. Stamps.com does that all. You do not go to the post office again. I am a big fan. We use it here. In fact, we love the free USB scale, so we ended up getting two accounts. Here's the deal. Go to stamps.com and click, and wait a minute. I know you're going to say, hey, an $80 value is pretty good. $25 free postage, free scales, supplies kit, 4 weeks. No, I don't want, that's not good enough. That's not good enough for you, our esteemed listeners. Click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and then use our offer code TWIT and go. And it's, first of all, you get a great picture of me. Thank you, Tony Wang. Second of all, you get $110 bonus, $55 in free postage, a free digital scale. You just pay shipping and handling, which is $5. You then get a $5 supply kit to make up for that, and a 4-week trial at stamps.com. This is a great deal. The USB scale really makes it perfect. You always exactly the right postage. You never have to guess. Stamps.com. Please do me a favor and do yourself a favor. Try it free right now, especially if you do a lot of mailing, if you're eBay or Amazon or a PayPal seller, Etsy. It does it all automatically. Stamps.com. It's terrifying and sickening. This actually came from Slate. Ryan Gallagher on Slate. Let me go to Slate and show you this article. Now, and I'd like to know, maybe Dwight, if you understand this. New surveillance laws being proposed in the U.S. and other countries like Australia would force makers of online chat software to build in backdoors for wiretapping. Because, you know, law enforcement doesn't like it that you can use Skype and similar programs to make phone calls that they can't wiretap. Skype has historically been a major barrier to law enforcement. Police in Germany complained in 2007 they couldn't spy on Skype calls. Recently, however, hackers have alleged Skype has made a change to its architecture for lawful interception of calls. Skype sent a comment to Extreme Tech saying, no, the restructure was an upgrade, had nothing to do with surveillance. But Mr. Gallagher says, when I repeatedly questioned the company on Wednesday whether it could currently facilitate wiretap requests, a clear answer was not forthcoming, a non-denial denial. Citing company's policy, Skype PR man Chaim Haas.
What? PR guy.
Wouldn't confirm or deny. Maybe he didn't. He's like, I don't know. What is he talking about? Do you know? I don't know. I cannot confirm or deny that at this time.
Ah.
Well, it's Microsoft.
He did say.
Probably doesn't know.
He did say.
I don't even know how the code works.
He said Skype, quote, cooperates with law enforcement agencies as much as is legally and technically possible. He didn't know. You're right. I don't know. Do you think Skype can
they put a back door in it and make it work?
I don't see why they wouldn't.
No. I don't see why they haven't.
Exactly. I think you have to use Mumble.
What?
Get your own server and go back and forth on Mumble.
Is that safe?
I think it is.
Is that because you're
going
mumbling?
Through your own server? I think it's harder to
It's open source, so we would know if there's anything in it going on.
By the way, I saw this back there. So you were having depth charges, apparently, double depth charges at the Benihana in Las Vegas recently. Yeah. A couple big straws in there.
Yeah, we actually had 4 or 5 of those glasses. I don't know where the rest went. I don't know, John. Why do you go through our stuff every time you're here? You've now got a giant bottle of Crown Royal and a giant glass from Benihana.
It is.
Is there anything else I can get
you? It's a plethora of props in this place.
I know. What are you? This is a studio. We like to keep stuff in here. You know why they call it a scorpion?
Oh, it's a scorpion glass.
Because it stings.
Oh, well, they use better booze in it then.
So, Leo, didn't Microsoft, wasn't there a rumor years ago about Windows having a backdoor in it for law enforcement?
Oh, yes.
Where they could.
Yes,
and
yes.
So, but was whatever came of that? I don't remember.
Do you remember the NSA DLL and all those things that used to be?
Oh, yeah, was the DLL right. called NSA?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's
couple
one
of
way to hide it.
There's a couple of things like that. I don't know whatever happened to that story.
So now that Microsoft owns Skype, and Microsoft, you know, traditionally is Microsoft is the man, right? You know, they would
want to cooperate with law enforcement.
They would want to cooperate, right? Once you get hold of Skype, once you buy Skype, you know, don't you do what you need to do?
Oh, What did you do, John? What is this?
Are you really under the impression that you can have private telephone conversations without doing something like, as John says, your own private server?
Probably not.
So Mumble, I have never heard of this. What is Mumble?
Mumble is a an alternative to Skype. That
open source, low latency, high quality voice chat, primarily intended for gaming.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of gamers use this. I've used this a lot.
So this is instead of those other things that gamers used to use that were
right. There's a whole TeamSpeak, and other things like that. But this one's free, so you could put it on your own server. And if you're really an adept gamer, you normally have a gaming server anyway.
Anyway,
so why not throw it on there and then have a free service?
Our producer Chad Johnson, who is an expert in gaming, he does his own show on the network called OMG Craft, all about Minecraft.
OMG?
OMG Craft. OMG Craft. Well, his name is OMG Chad.
It is?
Yeah. Legally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Legally. No. It's on his driver's license. So have you used Mumble, Chad?
Yeah, we have. Now,
does it sound good?
The one downside is Skype does all of the setup for you. Mumble, right. You go in and it's using Speaks as the audio codec.
Oh,
and
I don't like Speaks.
Yeah,
it's
and
a
you
terrible
have to,
codec.
You have to, you know, tell it exactly where your voice, you know, range is.
Now they're
otherwise
moving to something called Opus, which is a
Opus,
newer
Opus, everybody's. Right. I think Skype is moving to Opus.
See, I would love it if, because Speaks is not a very good codec. We tried it, and it's
meant for only voice, yeah. And it's not going to.
It works fine with voice.
I hear audible defects in it. I don't like it. It's not Skype works so well. Listen to how good Jerry and Dwight sound. They sound like they're in the room with
sometimes
us.
Sometimes you run into situations where it doesn't work as well as Mumble.
Yeah, if you have a lower quality bandwidth.
This new code thing floating around, what's it called? Opus or whatever.
Opus, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be picked up by everybody, apparently.
Yeah, it looks like it.
It's obviously a government.
It's an IETF standard.
There's your government.
There's
product.
Your back door right there. It's in the codec.
And so to answer the question about security, I don't know if there's a way to encrypt your conversation in your rooms in your stream. I don't know if that's built in. I haven't done any research on that.
Anyway.
Well, if you...
Surprised I found something you didn't know about.
If you want to use your own encryption engines and you have a certain amount of control over the channels you're using, you can kind of count on a certain amount of privacy. But if you just broadcast things, and that's what you're doing when you talk to the internet, you're putting it in the cloud. Do you really think that it's private if somebody really wants to listen to you?
With a lot of people who have podcasts, they'd hope to God they would be listened to, because nobody's listening to any of this stuff.
Exactly.
No, but it is an issue. You know, I remember who was it? Former chess world chess champion who ran for president in Russia would only do interviews via Skype because he was very concerned about Putin.
Kasparov?
Yeah. I think it was Kasparov. Yeah, he was Kasparov. Very concerned about Putin's government listening in on him.
Yeah, I talked to him by that. He was part of the same group that were the people who did the handwriting program. So I got to know him when I was in Russia.
Super smart guy. Very interesting guy.
Yeah, very. Very smart.
But that's why he insisted on using Skype. But now I think he would probably not use Skype. So I guess what we're just presuming that Microsoft, it's not that Microsoft's listening in, it's that Microsoft, if they were subpoenaed, would hand the keys over to law enforcement.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
Here you go.
Why would they fight it?
No, they don't. Yeah, they don't want to fight it. It's not in their interest.
They give them the keys and give them a coupon for a cheap Windows 8.
Yeah.
So, let's take a break. I'm just looking at the stories. We've covered the Apple event. We've covered the Google event. We've covered the Microsoft Windows 8 launch.
Yeah.
We've covered our feelings about Windows 8.
We haven't covered Huawei, have we? Or did you cover that?
Huawei. Let's talk about Huawei in just a bit.
Huawei we haven't talked about. And we haven't talked about Newsweek going.
That's an amazing story, isn't it? Let's talk about that, too, with the old diehard ink-stained wretches. This, all three of you are ink-stained wretches.
That's us.
That's you.
Yeah, well, that is us.
Dwight Silverman from the Houston Chronicle, John C. Dvorak from Channel Dvorak and the No Agenda Show, Jerry Pournelle from Chaos Manor, and jerrypournelle.com. We're going to continue with Twit in a bit. But first, since we do have a new device, we believe, coming from Apple. I'm going to give you the standard disclaimer. It's time to get a bid for your old iPad just in case. This is not a commitment. Just in case you want to sell it and get the new one at Gazelle. Gazelle is great because they give you 30-day quotes. The quote is guaranteed good for the next 30 days. And I can promise you, when the new iPad comes out, that old iPad becomes much less valuable right out of the box. So you might as well get the quote now. That's nice, too, because what you could do is wait and see. If you like what Apple is talking about, you can order it. You can get it. You could transfer the data. You have 30 days to do all of that and then send your iPad in or whatever device you're selling to Gazelle. And by the way, Gazelle is great. They will give you a check. They will give you a PayPal. This is a 32-gig, $300 for my 32-gig Wi-Fi plus 3G iPad, too. That's going to get me real close to the new iPad if those numbers are right. You want the iPhone 5? No problem. Let's take your iPhone 4S, AT&T. I got a 64-gigger in good shape, $215. Now, you throw that in the box, anything worth more than a buck, Gazelle will pay the postage. Oh, and by the way, they even take broken iPhones. So if the glass is cracked or even if it just doesn't work, they will take it. 1 million gadgets now have been traded at Gazelle. They have paid over $50 million, or almost $50 million to over 300,000 customers. They will send you a check. They will send you PayPal. Or if you get an Amazon gift card, and I kind of like that, you'll get a 5% bonus on the amount they quoted you. I guess they're rebating the Amazon affiliate fee, probably. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Look, just proactively go to Gazelle and get an offer for your stuff, because I can tell you one thing, no matter what it is, whether it's a Galaxy S3, a Galaxy Note, an iPad, it's not getting more valuable. They take Blackberries, too. Just I'm curious what a BlackBerry is worth these days. Can't be very much.
So, Leo, I did this with my iPhone 4 and was really happy with it. I had a 32-gig iPhone 4. Gazelle gave me $190 for it.
Wow.
And I was very happy.
That's almost all the way to an iPhone 5.
Right. I wound up getting a 64-gig iPhone 5, so I ended up, but I was very happy with it.
Good. Well, and you got quick response, quick turnaround and all that?
Yep.
They wiped the data?
They let me do it for, I think for iPhone 5s at the time, they were giving 40 days out because the phone hadn't actually been announced yet. And they, and what I really liked was that you don't have to send back the charger or the cable or anything. You just put the phone in there.
Well, you can if you have it, though.
Right. Well, you can send it back if you want, but you have another charger, and they don't dock you for it.
Oh, they don't. Oh, that's cool.
It was great.
Look, a BlackBerry torch is worth $100. Who'd have thunk it?
I wouldn't have.
Somebody called me on the radio show. Actually. Your advice, Gazelle. By the way, Gazelle.com. There's no offer code. Just use it. Be happy. Somebody called me on the radio show. Said, should I wait? I'd like your opinion, John C. Dvorak, for a BlackBerry 10. Next year to come out.
The BlackBerry 10?
Yeah, the OS 10 for BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Should I wait, he said.
I think yes is the answer to that.
Should he wait, Dwight?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's make it unanimous. Should he wait, Jerry?
Jerry fell asleep.
BlackBerry? What?
Wait for the 12.
Wait for the 12. There's good advice. I told him no.
There was a story. The New York Times had a great story about BlackBerry's not being cool anymore and the defensiveness of BlackBerry users. It was full of great interviews of BlackBerry.
Like Amiga.
I kind of feel bad. I, until the iPhone came out, I was a major BlackBerry guy. I used every single one, starting with the pager with the keyboard. I loved it.
What happened?
I loved BlackBerry, too. Let me tell you a quick story about Comic-Con in New York. My son was there. He was providing the internet connectivity for the convention. That's what he does now, Alex. And
he does a great job, by the way. I've used his connectivity at CES, and it's fantastic. We used it at Showstoppers.
Yeah, he does Showstoppers, yeah. Well, he was telling me that at one point in Comic-Con just a week ago, the only telephone connectivity anybody had from the Javits Center was LTE from iPhone 5s. There was no fours. Nobody was getting through on anything else. Just plain iPhone 5 LTE was getting connectivity, and nobody else was.
I am a big fan of Verizon's LTE.
I'm not.
Why not?
My wife, because they're billing.
What's this?
That, well, there you have it. You don't even know it's in your own place.
Dave's coffee syrup.
Yeah, it was in the refrigerator.
Actually, this is quite good. Go ahead.
So my wife joined a family plan with Verizon. We got a bunch of phones, and a couple of the phones crapped out. They wouldn't replace them. The amount that they bill them every month is totally different and not what was promised. My wife is actually going to pay the $500 to get out of the contract.
The early termination fee.
She's willing to pay that because of the scam pricing that Verizon does. I would never subscribe to anything Verizon. She's going back to T-Mobile because they got her some pretty good deals.
Having said that, the LTE is really fast.
Great. Fantastic. Here, give me your wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't I gotta say it was cheap, but it was the only thing working.
T-Mobile?
No, yeah. in
No,
New
it's
York.
A T-Mobile is what we're going to because we can't afford it.
Really?
Yeah, because it's just everything. Because, well, everyone knows about the AT&T bogative pricing, but the Verizon's worse, apparently. She's an
orchestra. What about Sprint?
He likes the pretty girl on the ads.
Oh, that's it. That girl on the motorcycle. One,
actually,
two, three, four.
That's the Sprint one. Oh, you got
that's
actually,
the girl.
AT&T. Oh, AT&T, for what?
It's corrosive.
You one about AT&T. But AT&T has at least allows you, if you're unlimited and you get an LTE phone, you can keep your unlimited plan. Yeah, they'll throttle you at five, but you can get and keep your unlimited plan. Verizon won't let you do that. And AT&T hasn't done away with its regular tiered plans if that's what you prefer, if you don't want to do the shared data. So I, looking at kind of the way AT&T has things structured, I think they actually are being more fair to their customers than Verizon is, although Verizon does have a great network.
But there Sprint's the last one with unlimited data, right?
Yeah, but it's really, I mean,
but it's crappy, so who cares?
Right.
I'm disappointed to hear that the 4G is not good. We're getting Sprint 4G too. Is it new? Has it been rolled out? Or I mean, maybe you're just using the pre-released.
No, it's rolled out. They rolled out. Houston was one of the cities where they rolled it out on day one.
Why is it bad? Because the same thing with Clearwire. Their 4G, their earlier 4G, the WiMAX was terrible.
It's spotty in that you can be on one tower that has it. I mean, downtown Houston's a good example. You can be on one tower that has it. You walk a couple of blocks and it's gone. Or it has dropped dramatically in speed. You know, the way Verizon and AT&T rolled it out is they got it in most of the center of the town, most of the center of the large cities, and then they made sure it was working right and they lit it up. But the impression I get from Sprint is that they rushed it and they're getting it up because they're so far behind. They're just getting something up, anything up, and then they're tuning as they go. Yeah.
Well, maybe SoftBank's acquisition and pouring $20 billion into them will help.
That probably help.
Yeah.
It's likely to help a lot. Do you think SoftBank is crazy?
Crazy like a fox.
You know, I'm thrilled because what we don't want is what we almost had with AT&T acquiring T-Mobile. And Sprint would have then gone away, and we'd have two phone companies, both of whom, you know, are not great. Yeah, at least we have some competition. And, you know, these younger, more nimble companies like Boost, and they're kind of interesting.
By the way, Al Franken had a lot to do with querying that deal.
Thank you, Al
Franken. Really?
Yeah.
Senator,
you've got something good to say for Al Franken?
Well, you know, he has been going after the telecom companies. I mean, I know what you're thinking.
What am I thinking?
No, Jerry.
I know what Jerry's thinking.
And that's actually pretty tasty.
It's coffee syrup.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Half quart.
Half quart of it. That goes a long way. You probably don't want to drink the whole half quart.
But he does a pretty good job of standing up to the telecom companies, unlike anybody else in the Senate.
You know, I wonder if he's getting campaign contributions from them because I know
I would think not.
A ton of money, not anymore. Ton of money going in there. Now, Jerry, you brought up two good stories. Let's start with Huawei, which is the Chinese. Apparently, this Chinese phone company or Chinese electronics company has ties to the Chinese military. And a commission that has been studying this for a few months from the Department of Commerce I think it was Department of Commerce, the U.S. government anyway, said no Huawei phones for anybody in government. We could tell you that right now. But it seemed that they were more concerned about industrial espionage than military espionage. They were worried about intellectual property being stolen by people using Huawei phones.
Well, it wasn't just the phones. It was mostly the switches.
Switches.
And also the 4G network.
Right.
Because
but there was nothing in any of those things where there was any hard evidence. It was all there. They are in ties with the Chinese military. They have these components in critical infrastructure, and X could happen. But there was no evidence that X had happened.
No, but when you listen to the C-SPAN had some of these hearings, and when you listen to this stuff, it was apparent that what they were accusing Huawei of doing was what we can already do. I mean, you could just tell that they were projecting. I don't know that
we do this, so we assume the Chinese are doing it.
Yeah, and I would assume so, too. And then they did have some hard evidence about some stuff some years ago, not in the United States. But they just don't want switching gear from China.
I guess that makes sense.
In this country.
This was, by the way, correction.
It is a national security issue.
It was the House Intelligence Committee, and that makes more sense. This is, and they were concerned also about ZTE, which is another Chinese company.
Yeah, ZTE's actually tried to I've never heard of them before these hearings, but they're apparently trying to worm their way out of this and trying to get into the good graces of the intelligence committee. Huawei, I don't think, has a prayer.
The report says China has the means, opportunity, and motive to use telecommunications companies for malicious purposes based on available classified and unclassified information. Huawei and ZTE cannot be trusted to be free of foreign state influence and thus pose a security threat to the United States.
Yeah, and the head of Huawei is a secretive guy, used to be in the government, used to be in the military, does interviews. It's just a bad situation.
Every single phone we use made in China?
That's the irony. Somebody said, what about the iPhone? It's made in China. Everything's made in China. I mean, I think this is more about the 4G networks and the people. We apparently can trust Ericsson more than we can trust the Chinese. We're freaked out about it. So it doesn't bother me.
I think if you presume that the Chinese government are influencing Chinese companies, you might as well presume they're influencing Foxconn and everybody else. Pegatron is making all the gear you see in front of you today is made in China. Now, I presume if there were a listening device in there.
Hello.
Somebody would have noticed.
Get reverse engineered quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody would have noticed. But why not in the switches? I mean, can't we tell if it's phoning home?
Well, it's a little more, it seems
more complicated.
It's a rough go. Better just to stay with Cisco and Ericsson and Alcatel, and we're.
But isn't much of Cisco made in China?
Yeah, everything's made in China.
But Cisco's specking out most of
your hip replacement was made in China.
Most, and it's listening now. the main networking chips are pretty much designed by Cisco, and I don't think that they're. And they have the tape outs. I don't think that the Chinese are throwing back doors into Cisco products.
Steve, have you ever considered coffee flavored sangria?
That is, Leo, you're going to make us all sick.
That is horrible.
It's kind of like a speedball.
I wouldn't know.
As a science fiction writer, I think about things like communications Pearl Harbor Day.
Yes.
How hard would it be to shut down every router in the United States if you built them?
Well, your president, Obama, wants to have a kill switch.
My president? Our president.
At his disposal.
Our president. He's your president,
He
too.
Wants to have the kill switch at his disposal so he can pull it and do exactly what you said.
What is the status of that, by the way?
He probably has it.
Yeah.
It's probably a big red
button.
Might as
well assume he has it.
It says...
But that was in case of cyber warfare. And in fact... I'll tell you what's really vulnerable is the grid, and it's all running on gear made in China, and it's all highly vulnerable. I think, as I seem to remember, the reports showed that many of our privately owned power companies had infested hardware on premises.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, hey.
Well, how come something hasn't happened?
Forget the switches. Just turn off the power. They won't work either.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think a Pearl Harbor Day would be quite a wake-up call. Meanwhile, good news, Best Buy is going to be offering the Nokia Lumia 920 and the HTC 8X for $149.99 and $99.99, respectively, under contract. So don't worry about the Chinese. You can get cheap phones.
Yeah, that's all that counts. Best price.
Forget the cyber warfare. We got cheap phones.
Okay, well, that put a crimp in the action.
Well, I'm just pointing it out. That's all.
What was the other topic?
What was the other topic that you mentioned, Jerry, that was also good? Huawei and...
Newsweek.
Newsweek.
Oh, yeah. Newsweek. Yeah, the
so Newsweek. At the end of the year, Newsweek will print its last print edition, almost 100 years old, as a news weekly. They're going all digital.
I don't understand why they didn't get to the 100-year mark and kill it then. It's a little more interesting.
I guess this is what this is where we're headed, right? I mean, it's all digital. Or, what do you think, Jerry?
I don't know.
Is it the death of print?
I'm
death of Newsweek.
It depends entirely, I think, on how good the tablets are as they get better. Right now, it's pretty hard to read out in the sunlight.
Well, if you have a paper white, it works pretty well.
Kindles work fine.
Kindles work fine.
Kindle Fire,
yeah.
You can't read
no.
the sunlight.
The paper white looks good, though. Paper white is good indoors and
out.
I really like it. IS has one, and it really was nice. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. He's not here right now. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Newsweek was founded in 1933.
Well, they'd have a ways to go.
It was the big rival to Time.
Yeah, and Washington Post owned it for a long time. Circulation in the 2000s was around 3 million, but by 2008, it had declined to 1.8 million.
Holy crap.
Still a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They sold it for $1.
The interesting story is that is Sidney Harmon, who bought them in 2010 for $1.
Yeah.
Well, it's more complicated than that. $1, and he assumed $47 million in debt.
Yeah, so he bought him for $40 million.
$47 million
and $1. Yeah. Plus
he
tax.
Was a multimillionaire stereo and car navigation equipment mogul. Never published a thing in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Tina Brown joined almost immediately. Harmon died the next year.
Huh.
Circulation continued to slip. As of June of this year, 1.57 million. It's time, I guess. The editor of Newsweek says this is an opportunity. This is not the end of Newsweek. It's just the beginning.
Just the beginning. The beginning
Newsweek
of a long slide.
It got very weird over the last year. If I were a subscriber, I would have stopped.
Yeah. What was weird about it?
The covers, everything. They were becoming very sensationalistic.
Yeah, they had Obama's gay cover.
Yeah, that was very strange.
I thought so.
Yeah.
So I wonder how, you know, a lot of this has to do with just the news cycle for news weeklies.
It's too long.
Right. I'm curious. I wonder how healthy Time in and of itself is, not necessarily the company, but is Time in the same position?
I think so.
That Newsweek was.
They have to be.
I think that going digital is probably the way the headline on it was right. You know, it does liberate them. It allows them to kind of do what they want to do.
Yeah,
the question is there's so much digital journalism out there of varying qualities. What can they do to stand out at this point?
Yeah. Time Magazine, 3.3 million subscribers. So it's doing much better.
They can't mm-hmm. manage to make money online because the model is so alien. I mean, with a little magazine, they sell these full-page ads, and people thumb through them, and they see these ads. The online thing is nothing like that. The whole model for selling advertising online is completely – it's almost impossible.
As Adam Curry pointed out, you're taking what was a scarce resource, print ads, and trying to assign the same value to an infinite resource, banner ads.
Right.
And you can't do it. The math doesn't work. Infinite resource is not as valuable as a scarce resource.
You know, he just became a ham.
He's a smart man. He got his license.
Yeah.
We should all be afraid.
I'm just saying, everybody out there should know that if you can get,
if Adam can do it, if you can do it, if any idiot can do it. Now, is he a technician or is he general?
But he's going to get general.
He's
next.
Going for general.
Yeah. I'm trying to get people out there to.
Everybody should be a ham.
This is a second wave of ham.
Well, and if you want to be a ham, you should watch our show Ham Nation, which is all about the art and science of amateur radio. It's a fabulous show, Ham Nation. Every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Twit Network. Yeah.
That actually is quite relevant to what we were talking about with Newsweek. Don't you think that what's doomed is the big general purpose magazine?
Go niche, you're saying. Go niche.
Yeah, niche. Well, look at it. Niche for me is my income now.
Yeah.
My backlist is selling on Amazon Kindle like crazy. I'm making more money out of my backlist than I used to make from Byte.
Here is a graph.
It's selling about 1,000 books a month of one kind or another, some of them 40 years old. And they're doing very well. People read them, they like them, and they throw them away, I guess. I think
they probably keep them.
But the point is that there are other people, friends of mine, who never had many readers, but they have enough. And they couldn't get big publishers to pay attention to them because they didn't have enough readers to go out and you see what I mean.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. We're a niche
I think it's
broadcaster.
Exactly right. What's happening is that publishing is going to be a very large number of niches.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know, it's the same thing happening
wrong.
In music.
It's the opposite of wrong.
No, it's fantastic. Look at music. The platinum multi-million sellers are probably going away, but that means
really?
A lot more.
You mean like Madonna?
Like Madonna, like Metallica, but a lot
they're
more.
They're bringing in all the big dough.
Well, they are still, but I think over time what it's going to mean is a more democratization of music, democratization of media.
The difference between performances and records. One of the problems with the recording industry was that the recording industry was so rapacious.
Well, yeah. They killed themselves,
I
agree.
The artist began telling people, please go pirate my stuff because the publisher doesn't give me any money. You saw the 60 Minutes the other night? The guy who was the most popular singer in South Africa for years, and he never knew it.
Yeah, he's penniless.
His publisher collected all that money, and they didn't even bother to tell him he was selling 500,000 records a year in South Africa.
You know, it's kind of telling. Madonna's record deal, current record deal, is not with a record company. It's with their concert promoter. It's with Live Nation. Then, in fact, that's where the money is. She has a deal to make a certain number of albums and tour behind each of them. And the money, I'm sure, given how much I spent on a ticket, is in the performance.
How much did you spend on a ticket?
$700.
What?
Well, that's how you get those close-up seats.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I got a laminate and a program and a T-shirt.
Holy.
They gave me a little prime rib.
Whoa.
You paid that to see Madonna?
Did you get...
You should have got a lot more for $700.
Yeah.
I got a great... No, look, I'm telling you, I paid $450 to see you too. If you want to get good seats at a big concert...
You paid $450 to see me?
You too. If you want to get that's it's expensive to go to concerts, but there's a lot of production in there. How much was Love? I think it was probably $300-$400. It was expensive.
Right. Huh.
You're spending a lot of money. I'm on the 1%. Screw you.
Yeah, screw you. Arrington, you heard him.
But you see, you have your niche and we have ours. Nobody's going to pay $700 to see me talk.
Right.
But maybe 700 people will pay a dollar to buy a copy of my book this week. Not
so
bad.
So Leo, what I found, you may have covered this in an earlier twit, but Marco Arment's magazine.
Now that I don't get at all.
Okay, tell us about that. I don't know anything about it.
That I do not get. So Marco Arment is quite popular among Mac fanatics. He created an app called Instapaper. It started as a website and it later became an app, a free website. He charged for the app. And he has a blog that's extremely popular among a certain small group of mostly Mac fans. It's Marco.org.
Marco.org.
He talks about technology, coffee, and Instapaper. He decided to take articles from his blog and others and make something called The Magazine. It's an iOS app. Very simple. It's not glossy or glitzy. It's pretty much like Instapaper. It's clean text. I think it's 4 articles twice a month, something like that.
I'm Marco Arment, creator of Instapaper, technology writer, and coffee enthusiast.
Yeah.
We should send him this bottle.
He's kind of a coffee snob, to be honest.
Oh, he's a coffee snob.
Yeah, he wouldn't like this.
So here's why this is
interesting. He does a podcast, too, over at 5x5.
So those guys.
This is interesting.
Nobody listens to this 5x5.
This is one guy who is both a programmer and he's interested in writing. He got Jason Snell, among others, to write for the initial issue.
Editorial director for IDG.
It costs him $1.99. It costs you $1.99 a month, I think, for this.
And you get eight articles for $2.
Yep. Right. Four stories in each issue. And it's he's essentially a staff of one. He will probably make a really decent amount of money doing this, and minimal effort. And
what
is a really decent amount
of money?
$100 million.
That's not how much he's going to make.
Oh, I don't know
how
much he's going to
make. But he'll probably sell 20,000 a month. As much as Adam makes from his sangria
a week.
Sure. I mean, Apple takes 30% of that $1.99. Right. So in terms of his publishing, his distribution is nothing. It's that 30%. He's written the code.
He's making $14,000 a month, probably.
Right.
For very little work.
And to me, if you're a publisher or you're a name, I mean, Leo, suppose you did something like this and put this out and it was minimal amount of work, you could make a decent amount of cash in print.
For some reason, I've always resisted this kind of thing.
This is your next stage.
No, I don't want to do this.
Okay, good.
I don't know why. I mean, it's completely legitimate. It's not like you're ripping people off. People know what they're getting.
It's what I do.
It's
except in my case.
Yeah, but you don't have
free.
A podcast and you're not a podcasting. You're not a
Here's my fear. I think that You don't want people to think you're trying to get as much money as you can out of them.
They already know that.
But at $1.99, that's not an issue. You're just a $1.99.
I guess I could do it.
Yay! Leo's going in the print.
No. But I think the bottom line on this is that...
That guy, let me plug me.
Please, plug yourself. Chaos Manor.
My subscriptions, my site is free. I use the public radio model.
People donate.
If you like what I'm doing, send me down, subscribe.
ChaosManorReviews.com if people want to know more.
Thousands of subscribers.
Jerry's writing, not just sci-fi writing, but Jerry's technology writing is what inspired me to get in this business. Because Chaos Manor in Byte, the original Chaos Manor column in Byte, was the first time I'd ever read technology coverage written as a user from the experience of a user. Like, this is what it was like to use this. This is what I had to do to get it working. And it really inspired me to say, this is what technology coverage should be. It shouldn't be regurgitation of press releases. It shouldn't be, ain't this stuff great? It should be, here's what it's like to be a user. And so I honor you, Jerry, and you deserve to continue to make a good living on Chaos Manor. ChaosManorReviews.com. And you're still doing it.
Still doing it. Haven't posted much recently, but I on the Jerry Purnell site, I get something up every day or two. Yeah.
Boy, if I could get it up every day or two, I'd do it too.
Now you're talking.
That's what she said.
That's always been my problem is I don't want to write so much. It's too much work. I like talking. It's easy.
Why don't you talk and have it transcribed?
It's easy for you to talk. It's easy for me to write.
Exactly. Really, you're a great writer, and writing comes naturally to you. For me, it's talking. That's why I'm not doing a publication. I'm doing podcasts.
I talk all day, every day.
Yeah.
I'm a dual threat.
You have a better voice than I do.
But the motto, I think, the
nut of this is that niche publishing is the way to go. Not a mass news magazine, but a targeted niche publication or podcast or whatever. And I think that... our motto always here was not to get bigger, but to get better. You know, traditionally business is about grow it. I'm not shoveling anything here.
By the way, they changed the cottage name to Conkrin Cottage.
Somebody else took that over.
By the way, when I was driving over here, I went past the Open Door Church, which you've seen.
It's a wonderful place.
You know what?
What?
The door was open.
Yeah, it's an open door
it's
church.
It's wild.
Anybody can go in there, even you. Let's see what's coming
up
on the week ahead. Like, I got to take a break. Let's see what's coming up. Well, in fact, here's what we're going to do.
Wait.
What?
Is Tom Merritt here?
Tom Merritt is, I think, just over on the other side of the wall there. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's some of the things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Coming up Monday, October 22nd, ISIS launching in Salt Lake City and Austin. That's a mobile payment system. Also, Yahoo and new CEO Marissa Myers have their earnings call. Tuesday, October 23rd, Asus teases a VivoBook and VivoTab event. Also, Facebook has their earnings call. Netflix has their earnings call. And wait a minute, it's the fifth Robot Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Wait, is there something else on October 23rd? Oh, yeah. Apple has some kind of announcement. iPod mini or iPad mini. Maybe it'll be an iPod mini. Who knows? Wednesday, October 24th, earnings calls from AT&T as well as Zynga. And Thursday, October 25th, an Amazon earnings call. Microsoft launches the Windows 8 operating system with event in New York City. Amazon's Kindle Paperwhite coming to the UK, starting at £109. Apple reveals their fourth quarter earnings result. The Amazon Kindle Fire HD 32 gigabyte goes on sale, and the Samsung Galaxy Note 2 coming to Sprint for $300. Of course, Friday, October 26th is the day Windows 8 and the Microsoft Surface tablet are on sale, and all of the concomitant Windows 8 devices, tablets, laptops, all of that stuff will go on sale that day as well. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
Hey, so Tom... So I caught this book. There's a couple of these books floating around. One of them...
This is Tom's new book.
Yeah.
The Chronology of Tech History.
Yeah, he left Don Lancaster out.
Who's but, Don Lancaster?
Look him up.
See, us kids, we don't know these things.
So...
young people today.
This is his... He wrote little things to people. Jason, don't tell the others I gave you this book. Kind of a thing...
Because he doesn't have many copies. I didn't get one.
Well, don't tell anyone, but Jason got one.
Jason
and
got
then
one.
He has one for Sarah, which I was looking for. He's got a little thing that says, Sarah, I know you're never going to read this, but I had an extra copy. So he's just throwing these books out there.
You know, this is. I think you can get this on Amazon, The Chronology of Tech History. It's Tom Merritt's newest book, and it's mostly true.
Well, he left CNET out of the chronology, by the way.
You and I have some... history there with that CNET story.
Yes.
But that's another day, another time, another story. So the deal is the coffee gives it a rich... Did you taste it? It's got a robustness. The problem with sangria is sometimes thin and kind of acidic.
He actually likes it. He thinks it could be a product.
I'm putting a little more in. The coffee and the mangria...
You may have come up with something here.
I think we've come up with something.
Coffee,
you should try this in the vinegar.
I don't think so.
Good God.
It gives it a body and a warmth that sangria traditionally lacks.
Oh, brother.
I'm not kidding.
Here, let me see.
Go ahead, try it. New Chromebook is here. I got an email from Tony Wang saying, can we buy it? Should we buy this, Chad?
New Chromebook? This isn't bad.
Traditionally,
it's
great, isn't it?
Well, it's not great.
It's good.
Traditionally, actually, Samsung has shipped us one for review, so we may get one.
We'll get one.
I reviewed the last two.
$249 for what is effectively a laptop computer, except really basically everything is in Chrome.
Right. It's a browser. So
it's a browser.
It only takes 7 seconds to boot. You're going to boot straight into Chrome, and anything that you do in your browser, you can do with this Chromebook.
2.5 pounds, 0.8 inches thick, 6 hours of battery life and typical use. You get, now most of the storage is cloud. I think that's one of the things that scares people. 100 gigabytes of free storage on Google Drive. It says you could play back 1080p video on it.
Yeah, the last Chromebook was able to watch HD YouTube videos.
That's kind of
which
amazing.
Which the first one wasn't. It wasn't right. Powerful enough.
And this is an ARM processor, too.
I'm sure it is, yeah. So
yeah, it's ARM processor.
I've wondered all along, what is the market for this? Maybe this is the education market as well, yes?
Maybe this is the market.
Little tiny children.
This is the ad.
So the ad says, for keeping peace, for peace of mind, for playtime, the idea is that you can share this with everybody. It's cheap. You don't care. It's good for sleepovers, for homework. Their position is a home computer, a family computer.
Right, right. It's funny, though, because...
Your second computer for first-timers,
It seems experts. Like they're positioning this as the throwaway computer.
It is. It's disposable.
You know, and that doesn't seem like the best marketing campaign for
a first computer you'll want to throw away.
Right.
Ah.
It's the one that you have around that you don't really use that often. That you can give to the baby.
This is the baby's computer. It has a camera.
Who produced this ad?
Google.
Yeah, so
you're crazy.
The cool thing is it does have a camera, so Google Plus Skype? Hangouts work really
hangouts?
Well. Skype, no. Because
there's no Skype.
Right. Hangouts are the only option. They've been getting better and better keyboards. I haven't tried this one, but the keyboard on the last one was usable.
So we want you to review this one since you've reviewed the previous two.
Sounds good.
This is for Before You Buy, which is our product review show. Google, what happened to the Google stock this week? It went down, 9%, 10%?
It went down.
They released their earnings prematurely, accidentally, with placeholder text. So
according to this pre-release, the third quarter revenue was $11.3 billion short of the estimate. Again, this is when the street says it's going to be 11.8 and it comes out 11.3. The street gets upset. Third quarter profit, $9 a share, below the estimated profit of $10.65 a share. Stock went down 8%. Will it come back?
It always comes back. Although I got a note here from Horowitz.
Who, do you still do this show
Bombastic
with him?
Bombastic Horowitz,
do you
yes.
You still do that show
of course.
With him? What's it called?
DH Unplugged.
It's for people, investors.
Yeah, it's a good conversation between a dummy like me, even though I write about finance for the last 25
but
years.
But Andrew's very interesting.
No, but he's a money manager. He's a different type of animal.
And he's a smart guy. He's the guy who told me to get into cash.
Yeah, he told you a lot of stuff you didn't do.
Well, yeah, I'm doing all right. I could pay $700 for Madonna tickets.
Yeah, no, you're doing good. And I know how grammatically incorrect that is. I always like it when an athlete says, yes, you're doing well. And I'm thinking, wow, that guy's smart. Anyway, so
did you see the NBA star who has an ATM in his kitchen?
No.
Yes.
Sounds like a gimmick.
The reason is apparently they stock it with $20,000 every other month. And he charges $4.50. The ATM fee is $4.50 because
savings.
His friends are always asking for cash. He says, well, you could use the ATM in the kitchen.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, only an NBA would do that. Anyway, he says there's going to be a horrible bunch of earnings coming out this week. It's going to be time to head for the exits.
It's Deshaun Stevenson, and he was outed because he posted it on Instagram. There he is, Deshaun, with his ATM in the kitchen.
That's very funny. Very creative. I need some money. Yeah, there's an ATM. Go
there's
get
an
you.
ATM. I'm not giving you any cash. But the funny thing is he's charging his friends $4.50 to get the money.
Well, if you have an account with Mechanics Bank, you'd get it refunded.
There you go. That's from TMZ.
Anyway, the point is the market's going to have some issues next week. So the Google stock won't come
back.
We're
going to see
right
a
away.
Lot of quarterly results this next week, right?
Yeah, and they're gonna, apparently out. The ones that are coming out aren't pleasant.
So why? What's going on? One of the problems Google's having is mobile advertising is not nearly as profitable. It's about 40% less profitable than traditional advertising.
I don't know what's going on. This is a cycle.
It goes up,
and
it goes down.
We're in a downturn, and it's going to continue being that way till 2020.
And it's a transition because of mobile.
Mobile's the issue. That's what's wrong with Facebook. It's what's wrong with Google.
Right. Right.
Okay, back down to the depths of depression. Anybody have anything to say? What are you looking at? I'll just keep out. I can kill the dead air.
I think
I'm reading this coffee. Dave's coffee syrup. Is that what you think?
I feel strangely enervated and energized.
It says, we prefer none of this. High fructose corn syrup, no. Corn syrup, no. Artificial colors, no.
It's good, isn't it, Steve?
And it says,
why would coffee taste good in sangria?
It says
it's like a whole breakfast. If you put some bacon in here, bacon, orange juice, and coffee.
Just mix it up.
He has bacon mangria. He can make that.
I bet you he can.
Steve, is there a website people can go to? Yeah. What's it?
Yeah. The company I work for is actually...
Patio.
CaliforniaShiners.com. Because if you drink enough of this, you'll have a shiner after a few days.
I just search on mangria and find it.
Well, because I'll get Adam's site. But California Shiners.
He's just a front man for these
There's
guys.
Only one company in Napa, California with single source solutions.
These guys are, these are, but these are.
It's a single source solution.
These are manufacturers, OEMs.
They make wine for people like Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Or me.
Corolla plugs it.
So what would be more profitable for me?
Next thing you know, you get a check in the mail for $10,000 a week.
I could go to see Madonna every week.
You see what he says? He says it's true. $10,000 a week and Madonna is yours. You can own her.
Oh, I doubt that.
Well, it's a nice thought. Or actually, it's not. Not a nice thought. What am I thinking?
Oh, I doubt that.
I was going to say, are you sure you want to be on record with that statement?
Oh, let's take a break. I got to take a break. I know we just took a break, but we have a house. What do you call it? A house ad?
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you're going to run an ad that's technically a house ad?
Yeah, but that's an ad for Twit. Because you know what we find is that a lot of people...
You're on Twit right now.
But a lot of people listen to this show and don't realize we do a ham show, we do a review show, we do a lot of other shows.
Did you just start doing this?
We've been doing it for about a year. You know, can I tell you something? It's increased audience for those other shows by 15%.
Did you know that on this next Friday is the 5th anniversary of the No Agenda show?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you going to have a party? You're on twice a week now.
Yeah, we started being on twice a week about 5 years ago.
Let's see. If you missed anything this week, you missed a lot on Twit. We had a great week. Let's take a look.
Previously on Twit, Gizwiz.
You know what? They're not lying.
This is pretty convincing.
Perfect
right
Polly
here.
For $14.99. This is, in fact, better than a real animal.
This Week in Law.
It has not been my design at all to channel Joe Biden, you know, at all today. But this is a big effing deal.
Know-how.
You know, I've changed my mind, though. I don't want to pay anything for data.
Okay, how do you plan on doing
can
that?
I get a hotspot that I don't have to pay for? Anything for
it. Maybe.
Yes. The answer is yes, I as
Windows Weekly.
Hi, Windows RT. You want a Surface?
Whoa, that sounds like Steven Sinofsky in my head. That's really strange.
I recommend 64 gigabytes of storage.
i5 for the iPhone.
Every week we cover 5 topics from the best apps to tips and tricks and, of course, the news you need to know.
Twit. Hey, G4. Ha, 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 ha.
Is that it?
That's Jim Cutler's idea. Ha, 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 ha. That's it.
Huh.
That's what you missed this week.
I didn't
know. Well, there was a lot more, but that
I
was some
I liked the little parrot thing.
So they're $14.95. It's a little parakeet.
Jerks his head. Looks like a real thing.
Can you bring me one of those? Because when you move your hand in front of it, it wakes up and says hello.
It's just like a Furby.
And they interact with each other?
No,
I
don't think so.
Does it bite?
Where's Chad going?
Boy, that's better than
he's quitting.
Computer
he's had it with you.
He says that's it.
You're already bossing him around.
It's like a Furby. It's like a little...
It's kind of like a Furby. It's like a cheap Furby.
How come they never had Furby 2?
Here it comes.
Okay, let's see that.
Furby's coming back. Furby's like made a comeback, which is kind of sad.
Yeah. It works like that pen. Oh, there you go.
He's not dead. He's just
It's
resting.
Dead. He's sleeping.
He's pining for the fjords. I think the battery... Is he off? Oh, he's off.
Ah.
Somebody got tired of it.
Oh, this is great.
I'm telling you, it doesn't ever poop on your shoulder or anything. This is what you want. If you're getting lonely.
Yeah, this is perfect for me.
Yeah.
Hi, bird.
Is there
Hi, bird.
Hi, bird.
Hi, bird.
Great. So Verizon is getting a little fire. Just hit it right
you
on the microphone
must
there.
Have had a lot of that sangria.
It's the mangria talking. Verizon Wireless boasts we are able to view just about everything our customers do. App usage, browsing habits, even whether customers own pets or plastic parrots. Verizon Wireless is actually selling this information.
Oh, Verizon.
About customers,
again.
Yeah. Well, you're glad you got off Verizon. Listen to this. Well, about the geographical locations, app usage, web browsing activities, your web history. There's some concern it actually violates federal wiretapping.
There's new laws that have been passed so these telecom companies can't be sued for anything.
They call it precision market insight. See, people are always saying, oh, tracking cookies, things like this. And I tell them, you know, the people you got to watch out for is your internet service provider. They don't need tracking cookies. They can see everywhere you go, one right after the other.
Right.
And Verizon's taking advantage of the fact that when you're on a smartphone, they're your internet service provider. This is true of Comcast, Verizon, AT&T. They can all do this. They call it precision market insights. Verizon says it's legal Because we're not revealing anybody's identity. It's aggregate.
It's aggregate. That's fine.
Also, you can opt out at any time. Now, we mentioned this before, and I encourage you to visit their opt-out site. What is it? Verizon.com/myprivacy?
Yeah, it's
VZW.com/myprivacy.
Right.
And you can opt out. You should opt out. There's my phone numbers. You might just want to cover that up. I don't care. Call me. I love hearing from you in the middle of the night anytime. Just call.
VZW, what is it?
VZW.com/myprivacy. And they call it their CPNI, Customer Proprietary Network Information Settings. And there's a little button that says, by the way, the default is okay to share my CPNI. So you have to go there and click don't share my CPNI. Now, I thought this was a Verizon, horrible. AT&T does it. It's, in fact, even more difficult to turn off on AT&T. They all do it.
Well, let me ask you something. Why do you care?
Exactly my point, Jerry. Why do you care?
And from my point of view, if they would do more narrowly focused targeted advertising, I'd get less spam.
Well, so this is, and I'm so glad to hear you, Jerry, because I've been a lone voice in the wilderness on this one. I think what they should call this, instead of tracking cookies, is ad customization cookies. Because if that's how they're using it, the problem is we don't know that that's the only way they're using it. If they're just saying, look, we're gonna see what websites you go to, what you like to do, and we'll give you ads that are more targeted at your interests, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
The question is, is that all they're doing with it?
Who knows?
What else would they do with it?
I don't like it.
Well, I mean,
I understand your uneasiness, John, and in fact, I share it. But I try hard to think what terrible things people could do if they knew all the websites I visit.
Well,
it's not about you, Jerry. No, seriously, it's not about me either. It's about the fact that if they all of a sudden gets the goods on some.
I'll give you some examples.
I'll give you the better one.
You tell me if this is something you worry about. What if you buy a lot of hummus, and the NSA has watches for hummus purchases on grocery cards.
This is always a possibility.
In fact, the Patriot Act tells the grocery store, the movie store, the library, they can't reveal to the customer they're even watching this material or giving it to the feds. What if your insurance company buys information on how often you visit Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, which is what goes on. This is why I don't have a Safeway Club card, I might add.
So those are a couple of examples. John, you can.
Well, one of the real problems with privacy has got nothing to do with the individuals, because we all know that we don't do anything wrong. It's that if they get the goods, here, imagine this. They get the goods on some senator who is a good guy, and he's... But
Al Franken, for instance.
But let's say he's having an affair, and they could figure it out, and then they're essentially going to blackmail the guy to make him vote a certain way, which is not in the public interest. And so the guy votes that way, and they shut up about it, but all of a sudden this guy's voting in some way that's not in the public interest. And you do that with one guy, two guys, three guys, you do it with everybody. I mean, this kind of thing is just basic corruption at the base level, literally, that cannot be tolerated. That's why you have to have protections so you don't have this sort of thing. So it makes it so easy for them.
Especially Verizon, which
has been going on a long time.
Yeah, but at least why make it easier? That's the question on my mind.
I'm not convinced it's making it easier. Look,
I am.
In the 60s, when I was running political campaigns, I got paranoid about one of the offices we had, and I had some old friends of mine from another life come in and sweep the place. And they not only found about 5 modern phones, they found old carbon mics that had been put in there, because this room had been given traditionally to political offices by the real estate company that owned it. And everybody in the world had bugged that place. And I knew that, and I knew all my staff knew that. So if I wanted to have a private conference, we'd go outside and flip a coin as to which direction to go in and find a restaurant, for heaven's sake.
Isn't that interesting?
And that's the 60s.
Yeah, well, that doesn't, none of this surprises me, but it just seems to me that...
Well, Verizon's a good example, because Verizon does, in fact, have a lot of business before the U.S. Congress and a lot of reason to influence businessmen. And now they're telling us they're collecting information about us. And they say it's okay because we're not looking at your name. I'm with you. I'm with you on this one, John. And I don't even listen to No Agenda.
That's funny. You never listen to No Agenda? You should listen to it. You know it's on twice a week now.
What?
Yeah.
See, that would help because I missed the Sunday show, but I could listen on, what is it, Wednesday?
Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah. At 9.
It's a better day for
Pacific
me.
Time.
Pacific. I tend to be in agreement with you on that, particularly on the sentiments here, but I do have a question. Are you not convinced that the remedy may not be worse than a disease?
What's the remedy?
Government regulation, my friend.
No, the remedy should be just the current laws that are in place already. We don't need new laws. What we need is less Patriot Act-style laws, which give these guys just a blank check. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, well, I was against those when they happened, but nobody paid much attention.
Hey, here is the Windows tablet you've been looking for, Jerry. 20 inches, 11 pounds.
Wow.
it's Sony's
Sony.
New
They're right on top of everything.
Tablet PC.
11 pounds.
That's a coffee table.
11 pounds. It comes with a forklift.
Well, it's Surface, right? Isn't it, Dwight? I mean, isn't that the idea? It's
basically a big Microsoft Surface, and you lay it on your dining room table, your coffee table, and your kids play with it.
It comes, I presume, with wheels.
And a handle. Comes with hernia insurance.
What is wrong with Sony? I mean, what the hell?
I don't know. Maybe there's a market. Technology.
It's only $879.
That's very Sony. Isn't the that right very guy, Sony?
Very
yes,
Sony.
If the right guy ever got a hold of Sony, the right CEO, this thing would be unbelievable. It'd be an unbelievable company.
You think even though it's in Japan?
Well, I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah. 20-inch, 11-pound Vio tablet with Windows 8. I think that shows you how hard the OEMs are working because Microsoft's kind of eaten the sweet spot with Surface, and the OEMs are saying, well, we got to do something different from Surface.
See that thing as a phone.
And that was the idea behind Surface. That was the whole idea.
Right, right.
It's working.
I'm so bummed. When Apple announced the new iPad, when was that? Back in January, they showed a game called Infinity Blade Dungeons, which looked like a great game. And now, the latest is, it's not going to be out till next year at the earliest.
Coming out with Duke Nukem 10.
Well, and then there's, what is it, Haunts? There was a game, a Kickstarter project called Haunts, I think it was, that has now decided, that's it, it's over. We took the money, but we aren't going to make a game. And this, I've been waiting for this with Kickstarter.
This is
going
to happen a couple more times. Yeah. That's at the end of it.
Now, the guy, Rick Dakin, who's the development team says, I'll take the money out of my own pocket if you really want your money back. Really? You really want your money back? I'll pay you out of my own pocket. They 1,200 backers, $29,000. That money immediately was spent to recoup some of the money they've already invested at that point. Not enough to get it across the finish line, according to Ars Technica. Kyle Orland writing. He says, the two main programmers have moved on to other jobs. And that's pretty much it. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of those on Kickstarter.
Yeah, well, that'll be the end of it. I think it's got about a year left. Unless they do a better job of vetting these things.
White House, I didn't see this, but I'm going to go back to this Huawei thing. The White House is denying it. They're saying, yeah, we asked for the report. But
they're denying what?
There's no definitive proof that Huawei is spied on behalf of the China. Is this the White House trying to deny ability so they can preserve their relationship with China?
Obviously.
White House has not conducted any classified inquiry that resulted in clearing any telecom.
No, the CIA and then the NSA did it.
They could not determine whether the security vulnerabilities found were intentionally placed there. Could have been an accident.
They found security vulnerabilities already.
An accident.
But we don't know if it was on purpose.
Wow.
That's probably a good interpretation, John.
Yeah. It might have just been an accident.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Speaking of accidents, DMCA takedown from Pearson, my old publisher.
Everybody's publisher. Yeah, Pearson bought everybody.
They bought everybody.
They ruined the business. There was a good, thriving computer book business, and then Pearson just bought every publisher up. They bought up Macmillan and Peach Pit and everybody, literally.
They took down Server Beach, which hosts something called EduBlogs, because they found one of their books posted on an EduBlog website by a teacher, which I think is fair use, but anyway, I don't know. 1.5 million teacher and student blogs taken offline.
I think it was an assessment. It was some kind of an assessment tool that's been around for years and years and had been on that blog for years and years.
Oh, yeah, Beck's Hopelessness Scale. Beck's Hopelessness Scale. Mm-hmm. Wow. And this is what's wrong with DMCA takedowns. It took down Server Beach, which took down EduBlogs, which took down 1.5 million teacher and student blogs. It's a 38-year-old questionnaire. Mm. And the Post was there since 2007.
Well, the DMCA needs rewriting,
obviously.
But it's not clear what the new law ought to be. When I was president of Science Fiction Writers of America, I got involved in the 75 copyright law revisions, but we didn't have much to do with DMCA, which has just turned out to be a disaster.
Yeah. Let me do one more ad, then we're going to wrap it up. And I'm going to ask you the question that was asked by Candy Crowley of the two presidential candidates. Why can't iPhones and iPads be manufactured in the U.S.? Neither one of them decided to answer it.
They both beat around the bush.
They answered other questions.
As usual.
Well, why answer?
Because they didn't know.
Yeah, because there's no answer. The answer is they can't. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. First, a word from audible.com. A chance for you to get three books free. Now, we always have had the great Audible Platinum deal. That's audible.com/twit2. You go there, you sign up for the Platinum account, you get a month of free. That's two credits. That could be one or two books, depending on the books. 99% of the books are a single credit, so you really could get two great books. And then I'm going to tell you how to get a third. Oh, this is good. The In the Pleasure Group, Love, Death, and Duran Duran. John Taylor, founder of Duran Duran, finally, tells his story.
I have been waiting
for this book. And by the way, you can get the Kindle edition, the print version for the Kindle, and then get a discount on the Audible book, and then you can use WhisperSync for voice, which is cool. You can read it on the Kindle, and then it'll jump to that part when you get in the car and listen to the audiobook and go back and forth, never rereading a single word. Isn't that cool? Listen and read at the same time.
How does it even work?
How does it know? I don't know. It's a miracle. Smart technology. So audible.com/twit2. What else would you like? Oh, Confessions of an Economic Hitman is on here. Do you like that book, John C. Dvorak?
Yeah, it's a very good book. I think I recommend everyone read it.
John Perkins talks about how governments influence, how the U.S. influences other governments to do their bidding. And everybody who's read this book says, yeah, that's basically how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like even a secret.
No.
Kind of an eye-opener. Confessions of it. That's another great book you could get. Bailout Nation. I mean, politics, history, Steve Jobs biography. There's so many great, over 100,000 titles. The hardest thing to do is to pick the book you want. But you're going to get two if you go to audible.com/twit2. Now, let me show you the other free book, which anybody can get. You don't even have to become an Audible subscriber to do it. It's Brandon Sanderson's Legion. I've been listening to it. It's a great book. If you go to audible.com/Sanderson, you can get it free. It's a novella. It's 2 hours and some minutes. It's a great book, though. Highly recommend it. And it's a great way for somebody who says, I don't want to sign up. I don't want to do it. Look, just get the book and listen. Audible knows. Once you start listening to audio books from Audible, they're great readers, the great variety of choices, the ease of playing them on your iPhone, your iPad, Android, Windows Phone. It all works. Audible.com/Sanderson for that free book, Legion. And then audible.com/twit2 for your Platinum account. We thank Audible for their support for many years. So what is the answer? I think that's a tough question. Why can't iPhones and iPads be manufactured in the U.S.?
The story you've got goes into the idea of, you know, these that China has basically built its entire economy around these low cost assembly jobs, and that a lot of the items that are made that the iPhone is comprised of, like processors and the Gorilla Glass, are made in the U.S. There was another story, and I can't remember where I saw this, but they talked about the idea of one of the reasons that Apple and other companies use Foxconn is that they have so many people in one place building these things, and they're very agile. They can switch things quickly because of the large numbers. I think at the main Foxconn plant, there's like a million people working.
Yeah.
And that
there's capacity. Right.
And that there are only 83 cities in the U.S. where there's more than 230,000 people in one. And that's just one city. So the structure of the Chinese economy and the way people live there is built for this. And, you know, Obama said at the end of his thing, he said that, you know, a lot of low wage jobs aren't coming back. We need research and more technical jobs here. And that's probably the right answer. He didn't go into as much detail as this is. But, you know, essentially you don't want those jobs back here because they are very low wage.
It did bring up in this article, which is from All Things D, a really interesting paper done by professors at UC, University of California, and Syracuse University, in which they point out that Chinese workers add about $10 of value to the iPhone, essentially the assembly alone. American workers add $162 worth of value, things like that Gorilla Glass and so forth, because, and this is kind of underscores what we were talking about earlier, Jerry, high-tech advanced manufacturing jobs for highly skilled workers, that's what we do best. And then the mass numbers required to just assemble those parts, that's what they do best, lower educated, less expensive workers. And so that may point to an answer to your question earlier, what should Americans be looking for in the future? And it's those high-tech, advanced manufacturing
jobs.
You
mean like bread making and cupcake stores and
factories,
hat places?
The problem is that people are encouraged to think that if they get some kind of education, they should get very high wages for what they do. And it's no longer very true.
I tell my employees that every day.
The university, the public school system, which we all pay for with taxes, only exists in order to pay its employees. It doesn't give a damn what it teaches the people that go there. And in fact, you end up with people coming away with huge debts who don't really know how to do anything. Till you get some real reforms in the public education system where the taxpayers are actually getting some return on the investment that they put into these schools, you're going to continue to export all of the medium jobs and below to somewhere else.
Here's the problem I have with the whole concept of Obama's answer it sounds like a good idea. If we don't have all kinds of in-between manufacturing positions – literally, kids in high school and college kids have nothing to do in the summertime. And it sounds trivial, but when I was a kid, I always had an industrial job in the summertime.
I worked at McDonald's. I could still do that.
Yes, that's unfortunately where things have gone to. Now
that's where they're working, in and out, McDonald's.
Yeah, they're working at a hamburger place when you could have been metal shop.
John, why is that unfortunate versus working in a sheet metal shop?
No. Working in the sheet metal shop is fortunate. Unfortunate.
Yeah, but what's the difference? It's both crappy jobs.
Let's start with this.
How did sheet metal help you in
the economy? The pay was 10x, okay? You got lots of money. I mean, I was a UAW union member, and I worked at Ford. You know, talking about Ford. I also worked at...
Good job.
It was a good job in the summer.
Yeah.
And I also worked at Trailmobile, and I was an inspector. Then I learned, you know, people skills other than, you know, would you like fries with that? And it was paid well. I mean, it wasn't as though you were, you know, working on minimum wage in a hamburger place and smelling like old grease at night every
night. That was the downside. It's hard to get a date when you smell like hamburger grease.
The point is that there's nothing – and by the way, that's limited. Now they're getting old people to do those jobs that you're talking about. Up as a kid. So you'd find these – I took a picture of it. I'll post it on the blog. I'm coming into Petaluma. There's a corner there. There's some housing development around here, and they're holding these arrows. You know, this arrow said, go.
I always wondered who does that.
There was an old man. The guy was like 90, and he was holding the arrow in the
that
corner.
That is really sad. If you spent a whole lifetime giving and giving to this country, and you end up being an arrow holder.
I am more along the lines. I sound a little bit old-fashioned, but I'm more along the lines of the way it was before the tax system was brought into this country in the early 1900s, when most of the government taxes were paid for by tariffs of imported goods. And I think that if we would tariff, and I'm all for tariffs. I don't see any reason why we can't have them. But if we would tariff some of this stuff that comes in from China that we can't afford to make here to bring it up to the prices that it would cost us to make it, and use that to pay for the government and not tax you, for example, at some
I'm all
rate.
For it. I'd go see Madonna more.
It used to work fine.
I'm buying a boat.
It used to work fine, but
yeah,
no.
We had robber barons, John.
They were all busted. The robber barons of today are working freely. You don't think we have robber barons
Actually,
today?
Actually, we do. We'll always have robber barons.
Yes, but these guys are getting away with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant for the day, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you again on the next No Agenda Show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, John C. Dvorak, Channel Dvorak, noagendashow.com. Anything else I should plug?
Dvorak.org/blog.
There you
go.
Have a drink. Good place to go.
And the vinegar book is coming out shortly.
Is it?
I'm getting it. Next time I'm on the show, I'll probably have it ready to
go. That's fantastic.
And then you could make vinegar.
I would sell vinegar. I'd rather sell vinegar than wine.
Well.
It keeps better.
The vinegar I'm talking about is pretty, takes
pricey.
A long time to make.
Pricey. Right.
Yeah. Well, you talk about pricey. Try getting an alcohol license, but
well, no, I guess Steve handles
that. Steve's got it.
Steve's got it.
Steve's already set up.
He's a one-stop shop.
We don't even see the product.
It's turnkey. It never even goes through my hands.
Yeah, Steve just boom,
boom, just ships it right out. The Mangria,
by the case.
By the case. Jerry Pournelle is still writing. Go to jerrypournelle.com. He is the best. You are the best, Jerry. I'm just a fan of yours. We disagree politically. I don't care. Hey, by the way, were you excited about SpaceX?
Yes. I think that private space is actually doing something. Now, what I was really excited about with SpaceX was the fact that they detected an anomaly in one of the engines, turned it off,
yep,
and still made orbit. So they now have savable rockets, which was part of the design of the old SSX that I put together that became the DCX back in the 90s. So, yeah, I'm very excited about SpaceX.
Yeah, it was a very interesting story. It looked like it went flawlessly, and we found out later one of the motors failed, and it still went flawlessly.
Well, it did go flawlessly. That's
right.
The whole point, that it's savable, and an engine out doesn't mean losing the rocket and the cargo.
Pretty amazing. And they got the ice cream to the astronauts, and that's what counts.
That's what counts.
Yep.
What do you think of the guy who jumped out of the weather balloon?
Well...
Maniac.
Wonderful. Maniac. I was marginally involved with Project Manhigh when Major Dave Simons went to 103,000 feet in a balloon back in the 50s. So I've kind of been interested in that sort of thing for a long time, but obviously it hasn't been very relevant until recently. But yeah, it's really something. That guy's... He's got more nerve than I have.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Than anybody.
That's for sure. And Mr. Dwight Silverman, who does a great show called Technology Bites on the Pacifica Network out of Houston. What is it, WBAI? What are you on?
Oh, no, that's New York.
That's New York.
I wish I was on WBAI.
That's the big one.
No, it's KPFT, and it's every Wednesday nights on KPFT. You can get it at kpft.org at 8 o'clock Central. And there you can read me at blog.cron.com/techblog.
There it is, right on his graphic on below his name. You must read. Actually, his updates on links, I use that every week. I steal all your stories because you want to follow tech news, yeah, it's great. Just go to the tech blog and read it, and you'll always be up to date on what's going on. Thank you for joining us. We do Twit 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time if we don't have a fashion show. Sometimes fashion shows hold things up. 2200 UTC on Sunday afternoons, Sunday evenings. I do love it when you watch live. We watch the chat room. It's very handy. I hope you're not lying to me, Bill, in Michigan, when you say the Giants are leading 5-0 after two innings, because that would be cruel and unusual punishment.
That would be good.
I do have a baseball game to get to. I do want to see how the Giants are doing. Make sure you tune in. If you can't, we do on-demand versions after the fact, always at twit.tv. Thanks to Chad Johnson, our producer. Nice job, Chad. We needed your input.
Thank you.
You were very handy to have around.
Thank you.
Is there anything else, Chad, that I should tell people? Because I'm a little drunk right now on Angria.
And coffee syrup. Don't forget
proof.
That.
Coffee syrup, right. 40
proof. Right. No, we covered it all. We don't really have any big promos this week.
Top of the third.
Other than Apple coverage, live Apple coverage of the event.
Thank you. I knew there was
something.
There we go. That begins, what, 9 a.m.? We're going to do TNT on Tuesday. 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. And the Apple event is at 10 a.m., so right after TNT, we'll go to coverage of whatever the heck Apple's going to announce. We are also doing special live coverage of the Windows launch, and I think we're going to do the Google thing the next week on the 29th.
Yeah, so maybe we should get the All About Android crew in.
We'll get the we'll make them maybe work for a change. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another twit is in the can.